Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg. After Saturday's 56-3 win against Ball State, top-ranked Ohio State turns its eyes to fifth-ranked Texas, visiting the Longhorns Saturday at 7:30 Eastern. Buckeyes bested the Longhorns in last year's season opener, as well as the 2025 CFP semifinal, and took the last meeting in Austin 24-7 back in 2006. Hear Buckeye Roundtable on the Fan tonight at 6. College football tonight, 19th-ranked SMU visits Florida State at 7:30 to close the Week 1 slate. NFL Falcons head coach Kevin Stefanski today named Tua Tagovailoa starting quarterback. Cooper Rush will back him up with Michael Penix inactive while recovering from a knee injury. Baseball today, Guardians travel to the Orioles at 1:35. Reds visit the Dodgers tonight at 9:10. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Open a savings account for the youth in your life with just $5 at BMI Federal Credit Union, and they'll put $100 into a youth certificate.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All right, here we go. Rothman and Ice, back at it. Hope you guys are having a nice extended holiday here, an extended weekend. Buckeyes off their opener. A nice 56-3 DJ glazing. Ball State is done. It's Texas week. It's good to see you, my man.
What up? What up? It's good to see you as well. So you're saying the ramp up is officially over. It's no
you
more ramp
us, Matty.
Yeah, I think
you tell us.
The ramp up happened.
You were a little concerned months ago. A
little tune-up game. And hey, maybe some programs around the country would have liked to have a little tune-up game based off of some of the things we all witnessed this weekend. But no, it was just good to have Ball back in that type of capacity. I will tell you this, though. Last night, watching that Notre Dame-Wisconsin game, Louisville-Ole Miss, got to retrain yourself to get past that 10:30, 11 o'clock window with some of these games, right? Like, because, you know, outside of football season, hey, I'm getting in bed at 10 o'clock. You
really?
Know, not, yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I got to force myself to get in bed at 10 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, I'll get in bed, man, just turn on the TV, and then I'm usually out about 30 minutes later. But we as fans have to go through training camps ourselves to stay up for some of these late games. So, yeah, man, it was a good weekend. Had a lot of fun going around, hanging out with my friends and watching the game. So, yeah, I can't complain, man. All good.
See, I would think summer would actually get you into shape for that. Most people would stay up later in the summertime. You know, you're out that high-flying social life. I mean, you're out, you know, all that stuff.
On the weekends occasionally, but Monday through Friday, I like to be in bed by 10 o'clock at the latest and lights out by 10:30. I'm running the strict program over there.
Lights out.
Strict program I'm running.
All right. Well, we'll get after it today. 56-3, Ohio State. It was a little bit of a slugfest early and a weird, just kind of a wet sponge kind of feel to it, but we'll get into some of the details. And, you know, I promised myself this year it wasn't going to be anything overreacting either way. I mean, this probably turned out, well, it did turn out exactly the way I thought it would, but the difference is, and I think we can start with this because we'll have Jim Lachey on it at 12:30. We were led to believe, and maybe this was a self-fulfilling thing that people wanted it to be, that the strength of this team, outside of the talent, the weapons, we know that's a strength. But as far as the strength of an identity of this team, we were led to believe it was going to be this offensive line. And when I looked up at half and I saw 35 yards rushing against Ball State.
Is that accurate?
And then I thought to myself, okay, I can accept that if you treated the beginning of the game like you treated the end of the half. Like, if you just came out slinging it around, then I don't care. That was the game plan. But the weird thing is the game plan was to run the football early, and it was to kind of set some physicality in motion. Mm-hmm. Ball State, if they had a strength, it was certainly their defensive front, and they showed it. It was never going to last. The dam was always going to break. So I'm not here to tell you that there's massive concern, but I think most would have thought that they would, as you like to say, throw some guys out of the club early and move some guys around. And since it was 28-3 at half, like I said, this is how we have to judge Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And they will judge themselves this way. They will judge because Ryan Day at halftime It wasn't about being up 28-3 or the amazing catch Jeremiah made or anything else. It was, why are we bringing the ball out of the end zone twice? Why are we doing that? Because it's Ball State? Because a young guy thinks he can? Like, so, and he knows he can, and this is part of what he looks at. Will he look at James Smith? We don't need a horse collar there. We just need you to go for his legs. Like, that's the kind of stuff they're mm-hmm. going to talk about mm-hmm. when it comes to Texas. And so, but there were so many, like, call your own plays and have fun with it, and Julian's going to have time to throw. And then there were other times where you get a whiffed block and Julian gets sacked, or you get another whiffed block that forces Julian to climb the pocket, and then Ball State says, wait a minute, there he is in the crosshairs, and then they just lay the lumber on him. He got hit a couple times. Those are the things they will look at.
Yeah.
But outside of it, this was never going to be one of those games that we were concerned about. So here they are, number one team in America, probably living up to it, certainly on the scoreboard and certainly talent-wise. But there's some stuff within the game that I think they're going to look at this week going into their monster matchup.
And I think it's appropriate to bring them up because you're right. Like, nothing is going to be perfect, and I'm sure the coaches like having some of this going on going into what should be a banger of a game this Saturday evening down there in Austin. And so, yeah, it was definitely eye-opening when you get to the end of the second quarter, and it's like, oh, they only had 3 rushing yards in the entire quarter there. That was definitely some sticker shock in a bad way, but overall, they got it going. It's going to be interesting to hear from Jim Lachey and get his thoughts on what the offensive line did and didn't do too well. But I think, you know, zooming out from that, a couple things that we heard about all offseason coming out of the building, things mm-hmm. that they wanted to do. The playmakers making guys miss. And I think you saw a decent amount of that in this game, whether it was Legend Bay, whether it was Julian Sand on his rushing touchdown. That was a huge topic all offseason for everybody, is to see how he can level up in that category of his game. That fourth down touchdown run wasn't just some easy willy-nilly, hey, here's free, you know, runway to run all the way into the end zone. It's, hey, went through his progressions, didn't see everything that he wanted to see, stepped up, made a guy miss, and got in. So hats off to Julian Sand for doing that. We know about the arm talent, mm-hmm. but that's one thing that a lot of people have identified as something that he really needs to level up in if he has plans of going to the league at the end of the year. Long way to go, but I thought that was good stuff. But even outside of Julian, Bo Jackson, Jacoby Jackson, all these guys on their touchdowns, I thought did a good job mm-hmm. of making tacklers miss. And I know the wide receivers and the running back, that was something that they really wanted to hone in on. And that's what you're going to need to do when you play against better teams, is when it's one guy, don't allow that guy to bring you down and get those tough yards, because you're not going to be able to rip off home runs and 40 and 50 and 60 yard runs in all of these games. You could do that against Ball State, but can you, starting this week, as the playmakers, grab that extra 2 yards, grab that extra 3 yards to get the offense into third and manageable, or even better, moving the chain? So I think that was a positive box they are to see mm-hmm. those guys who talked about it all offseason come out in game one and make it happen right away.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed out Julian Sand. First of all, let's also mention that's on a 4th and goal.
Absolutely.
So that's on a vital play. If he gets tackled there, there are no points. You're not getting a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so, and we always, you're trying to look at this like you'd look at a real competitive game. Now, going for that on 4th and goal, I think certainly you have that luxury against Ball State at home. Do they do that against Texas in a competitive game? Who knows? They probably take the 3. Probably.
Depending on to what you mentioned earlier, how's our offensive line looking throughout the game?
Situation.
Can we get the push in that game? If he feels like, hey, our guys may not have it today, then you probably take 3 and get out of there.
Might even look at it even how the defense is playing that night, too. Like, you know, you got them pinned anyway. But these situations that you're making these calls against Ball State, it's not apples to apples. You may not be calling the same plays against Texas. So you're trying to judge this off of them living up to the hype, and I think they did. You know, you're right. The running backs look good. The one that will bother Ryan Day is, I think Jacoby missed a block on a play action play that got his quarterback sacked. Other than that, they have talent.
They do.
I mean, they're loaded. Devin McEwen, you talk about guys that we heard about.
Oh yeah.
It didn't surprise me that he can catch the football. It doesn't surprise me that he's fast. What I'm impressed with is his concentration level. there were a couple of balls that McEwen caught where he knew he was going to take a hit, and he held on to the football. Now, the narrative with Chris Henry, I think, is a little off today and post-Saturday. The one that's going in for the touchdown, if he just holds the ball out and doesn't try to tuck it. But the guy from Ball State pulled his arm down. That's a good defensive play in a bang-bang situation.
Yeah.
The other one that Fahey hit him on a laser, I think that ball was tipped before it got to him. And I think the narrative was, well, he's got to hang on to the football. Both those things I thought happened that gave him a justifiable reason that he didn't catch the football.
I agree.
Now, could he have made the catches? Of course he could have. But it wasn't like, when you talk about drops, you're talking about balls that hit you in the hands, where there's no defense, and it's an unforced error. So to have your arm ripped down when you're holding it out is tough to hold on to a football. And then having a ball come through traffic and have it tipped. Does he want those back? Of course he does. But there was like this narrative of he's got to catch the football. And I'm pretty sure
he'll be all right.
He'll be all right.
I think he'll be all right. I'm glad that you highlighted Devin McEwen, too, because this is a dude coming in as a senior that I don't think is going to be overwhelmed by any of these moments because he's had plenty of time on task prior to coming here. But like the touchdown that he caught off that kind of that RPO look, that quick hitter to him, I thought that was a nice little wrinkle that I think they can throw at defenses. But also the area of the field that it seems like he's going to be able to work. Like a lot of the catches that he had
inside the numbers
went for first downs in that intermediate area of the field. So I think it's always great to have a playmaker of some sort that can work that area of the field. So that was really good to see there as well. And then like, we can't end this segment without talking about number four and how he just right out of the gate just looked like, again, the best player in the country. The first touchdown he catches, speaking of running backs like Bo Jackson, that was great blitz pickup by him. That's Julian under center going play action and allowing Jeremiah to have enough time to get downfield. So credit to Bo Jackson in doing that, because I know when you have this type of offense, the coaches really have to trust one of these or a couple of these running backs to do blitz pickup, and I thought Bo did a great job. But Jeremiah on that touchdown, I mean, the defender's there. I mean, I don't know how much more the defender could do. That's just, hey, I'm Jeremiah Smith, I'm a freak athlete, and I'm just going to go up, grab the ball, and hold it with one hand while I'm going down to the ground all the way up. And then he had the second touchdown. It looks like he and Julian just obviously have a whole bunch of chemistry with that back shoulder throw. But playmakers on full display, AR. Nobody surprised by that. But I think you can get into the film room, especially if you're Arthur Smith and Tyler Bowen, and say, look, fellas, big dogs, we kind of ended the game well, but let's get off to better starts. That way we can have balance immediately with our offensive game plan.
Yeah, like I said, it's not that I have a real problem with the strategy of the game plan of them trying to establish the run. It's just when you're trying to do that against Ball State and you don't early on, it's a little bit of, I wonder why they can't physically move them around. But once you get into a two-minute drill before half, and once you open up things a little bit, Julian had plenty of time to throw. Yeah, I mentioned he got hit a couple times, which isn't great, but they felt a little bit of everything. And I was a big proponent before on Friday of, you know, getting into game shape, not turning your brain off at halftime, feeling like you got to go out there in the third like you will next week. Yeah. Like, part of this is also game shape. It's really humid on Saturday, too. You know, making sure they got a full feel of how much they had to do. But yeah, could Jeremiah have gone 16 for 300 if he wanted to? Of course. Yeah. Instead, it's 8 for $1.50. Like,
and two.
Honestly, I mean, it's covering him one-on-one. Like, it was maybe it was 2nd and 6, so they took a shot. But yeah, no one's going to be able out there. And the guy guarding him is, I think he's 6 foot tall. It was actually decent coverage. That's the funny part.
He's there. Yeah. The defender's there. Jeremiah is just like, there's levels to this big dog, and I'm on a whole nother level.
One-on-one with a quarterback with that much time to let him release and get past the guy, and they're going to be able to burn him all day. All right, we're just getting started. We'll get back to the call heard around the world. I'll call it the 423-A. That may be on the shirt soon. We'll explain next. Rothman.
Ryan Day's Buckeyes head to Austin for a nighttime showdown with Texas.
Yeehaw!
Live fan coverage starts with Fan Sports Saturday at 10 a.m. with the kick at 7:30.
Every game, every season, your flashy home for Buckeye football. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Great weather for your Labor Day. What you see is what you get for the rest of the day. Mostly sunny skies and highs of around 82. Comfortable humidity, all things considered, and a gentle east wind. Mostly clear skies tonight, 63. For your Tuesday, mostly sunny, a little warmer, a little more humid, highs of 86. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
The only thing better than watching football is talking about it. So we invented Reaction Monday.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
The Fan.
Hey, kids.
Anthony once did magic for birthday parties. See, when you say it out loud, it doesn't sound so bad. Back to Rothman and Ice.
In a weird way, I was watching that magic show in Ann Arbor live. I don't know how many people actually were. Maybe it's because the Clemson-LSU game turned into a nothing.
BTA is and what happened in that game.
So, woo. We'll talk about that in a little bit because...
Man.
Yeah.
Clemson. No, go ahead.
But yeah, I'm watching this thing live, and I agree with everyone that in the moment, it was a complete garbage situation. Like, now, I don't know the exact... There were two things. I'm going to try to be real objective here and take the names and teams out of it for a quick second, even though I know that's impossible because of one's a Big Ten team and one's the rival and they're at home and they look like trash and they don't look like a top 20 team and all that that we questioned before the year started. But so two things happened, in my opinion, that I didn't know about time. At the time live that I've heard people talk about, and we'll see whether we buy it or not. One was, and I have gone back to watch this like 10 times now, that somehow the 9 seconds went to 8 before the ball even went, got into Underwood's hands. I've read that. Okay. Did I watch it? Can I confirm that that happened? It did partially happen. Was somebody a little quick on the trigger on that? Potentially, possibly. So were they cheated a half a second or whatever off the jump? Possibly. Then you see the ball, you know, fall into a Western Michigan guy's hands. To me, add zero. Now, you always have to ask yourself, how synced up is this? Is the clock that I'm seeing on my television the same as the clock that's the official timer of the game? And it keeps coming back to no, it isn't.
Yeah.
And I've read where they're perfectly synchronized, and then I've read where they were conveniently not. So the stray 1 second that was put back on is certainly up for debate because it looks like to me that the Big Ten saved one of their own.
Big Ten officials, all of that stuff. It smelled a little fishy for sure. I was out, a couple friends at a bar. Couldn't really hear the game.
But you were in bed by 10, though.
No, Saturday. I told you on the weekends. Right. You know, the weekends, you'll step out for a little bit more. But I'm out, and we're all watching the game, obviously. We can't hear the broadcast, but watching the first Hail Mary attempt, to my eye, it just was, okay, the game's over. And then you got Buckeye fans rejoicing, the whole thing. It was crazy. The range of emotions I saw Buckeye fans going through in that window of time was wild. And then I looked at one of my friends and I said, watch, they're going to pull this off now. They're going to pull this off now that they got a second crack at it. And sure enough, Buchanan at 6'4", 6'5", whatever he is, goes up, makes the grab, and that's the rest of it. But I went back and watched it this morning. There's a Western Michigan defender that's almost there getting home to Bryce Underwood. Like, almost there to take him down. But none of that matters. And this just all feels off. And I'm with you. I've heard everybody talk about this for a day and a half now about the clock and the ruling and this and that. And I know TLC's got some sound for us. TLC, you've got what? Tony Petitti, is that what you want to lead off with here?
Well, it's John Fanta giving the explanation. I think he was reading what Tony Petitti put together.
Fire that off.
Here you go.
The official time of the game is kept by the Big Ten. Our cameras are not the official arbiter of timekeeping within the game. That is the Big Ten and game officials' responsibility. After the game last night, the Big Ten released a statement and raw video from its replay process that showed how and why the decision was made. Here's a look back at that video. And with the ball hitting the defensive back for Western Michigan, that gave Michigan another second and one last play where J.J. Buchanan came up big.
All right.
Words.
So, well, they are words. So the question on the table is that the Hawkeye system or whatever they use had a different sync
than the broadcast on NBC.
That's what he's complaining. Now, Terry McCauley came on the air and said, wait a minute, I don't see how that happened. Assuming that ours is correct, that the ball is clearly in the air when the clock goes to zero, when that, right, there's no doubt about it. Now, to their credit, they released that video he's talking about. What am I supposed to do? I'm just some idiot sitting on his couch watching. I can yell at my TV and say, you robbed the other team, that's garbage, that should never have been overturned, there wasn't a second left, and all they keep telling me is, your clock is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Our clock is right, and their clock is supposedly the official. So unless there's going to be some deep dive into this where they froze a second, then what am I supposed to say?
What you're supposed to say.
They have an explanation that you either can buy or you don't. And so we can all say that in a normal situation, they're never putting a second back.
No.
They're never doing that. Now, if, and I like to do this, if that happened to Ohio State, would we still be ranting like this? Would we? If they put the second back on for the Buckeyes in a big game and they explained, hey, your clock on TV wasn't synced, what would we be saying today? Would we be buying it then?
Here's what I know.
I don't know.
Two of my best friends are Michigan fans, and they felt like they got away with one.
Of course they did.
They felt like they got away with one. So at least the two friends of mine that are diehard Michigan fans aren't all in on this. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me ask you this, though. And I have a friend of mine, same thing. And he couldn't even watch. He was same as those guys. We stole one. A, because it was Western Michigan, and B, because they look like garbage. And C, because they missed their first chance at the Hail Mary. I wonder if those same Michigan fans, if Michigan was playing Oklahoma, and this was the Oklahoma game,
which is this week,
but let's say that was this one, and it was a hard-fought game, and it came down to that. I wonder if those same Michigan fans would feel like they got away with one, or whether they just won a classic. I feel like part of this is Western Michigan, you look like trash. You probably should have beat them by 30, and you didn't. Of course you feel like you got away with one, because you should have lost against a much lesser opponent. But I'm wondering if you put a much bigger opponent in front of them and it was a really good game and it came down to that, whether Michigan fan might be like, hey, the ball bounced our way tonight.
Who knows, man? That's a good question. I'll have to run that by them. I think what is embarrassing, though, is regardless of emotion, you can't be storming the field. It's Western Michigan. Come on, man.
That was interesting.
What is going on? Like, the storming of the field is insane.
I think college kids look for excuses to do it anyway.
Okay, but you also
like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think
we just beat Western Michigan and didn't deserve to win the game, and we're going to storm the field. That was nuts. I did see this morning, though, because you talked about, you know, zooming out from the Hail Mary and just the mess that was. What Kyle Whittingham did come out this morning, and he dropped this quote on Bryce Underwood. He's our quarterback right now. It's not something that's infinite. That's pretty alarming if you're Bryce Underwood.
Who's our boy that called this?
Eric Weddle.
Yeah.
So Eric Weddle was at a practice. He came out of that practice and said he doesn't think that he's going to play the entire season.
He couldn't throw a football. Now, that was obviously not the case Saturday.
And now you've got the head coach coming out from this game, going into one of their biggest games of the season, saying, yeah, his job is not 100% secure. And so something to monitor up there for sure, because a lot of rumblings all off season about how he really hasn't looked the part.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's just a, I don't know if you do that publicly right now. I think you keep that in house, but that's their mess. They got to clean up. Should be an entertaining game this weekend. But yeah, the percentage of Hail Marys has to be really, really low. I don't think I've ever seen a team get a second crack at it and then execute it the way that they did. Nuts.
The only thing, if you remove the teams, you remove the situation, the only thing to ask is this. Where is this top secret timekeeper? Where is this clock I don't get to see?
Right.
And why wasn't it synced to the TV clock? Mm-hmm. Or are all TV clocks usually synced to the official timer? And if this one wasn't, why?
Why?
And that's it, because that's all I can do. I can sit here and call it a joke. Western Michigan was robbed.
Yeah.
Do they reverse it if it's Western Michigan throwing the Hail Mary? Yeah. Like, all those questions are hypotheticals that I will never get answers to. The one answer I probably could get an answer to is, why wasn't it synced and was it supposed to be? And then we'll know. Mm-hmm. Because if there was 1 second and they deserved another shot at it, they got it. And the Big Ten is telling you they deserved a second shot because there was a second left.
And real quick, before
according to the top secret official double secret probation clock operator that's in a closet somewhere.
Shout out to Western Michigan's coach, too, because he had every right to just lose his mind and make this louder than what it needed to be. That dude just kind of rolled with the punches after the game. I know they had to be absolutely sick. You can see the players, when they see Buchanan come down with the ball, go straight to surrender cobras, just hands on their head, because that was supposed to be, like, if you're a player at Western Michigan, that is something that would live on forever. One of the best moments of your football life, and it gets ripped away in the blink of an eye by a crazy Hail Mary.
Mm.
I feel for those dudes, man, because they were the better team that day.
It doesn't count for them, but they'll know they were.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We'll come back with our friend Jim Lachey in 2 minutes to analyze the Bucks going into the big week. Rothman.com.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
You have to understand, you're listening to Rothman and Ice 97.1, The Fan. It's indubitable.
Back at it. Man was in the booth. Eye in the sky, watching the Buckeyes open up 56-3 against Ball State, and now it is the week. By the way, if you're wondering, Texas is currently a 1.5 favorite against Ohio State, which tells you that maybe on a neutral field they'd have the Buckeyes favored, but here we go. This is the week. Our friend Jim Lachey, the former All-American, was on the call, and he's with us now on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Jimmy, welcome back, my man.
Great to be with you on this Labor Day.
You got it, brother. All right, so let's find out from you. They tried to establish the run early. It didn't go so hot. Then everything opened up, and then certainly the number one team in America was going to look the part, and they did. But maybe just give me your little feeling on that first, on maybe the strategy to start the game and the offensive line and your assessment of it.
Well, you know, I think you always, every game you want to go out there and try to establish your run. I mean, that's just, you know, as an offensive lineman, that's kind of what you want to do. I think as coordinators, you want to give those guys a chance to come off the ball. But, you know, the way the game started, I think we had our right tackle went the wrong way on the first play of the game. He went left, and the play was coming behind him on the right. And basically left the left defensive end unblocked, and you know that's not going to get you anything. And then, you know, it probably is not just one guy. It's a little bit of everybody involved. I doubt if any of those guys, you know, would grade out a champion. After that performance, and you know, it's an eye opener. Your first game of the year, you want to go out there and you want to be able to, you know, put some good film out there. You know, for your opponents to see, and you know, that wasn't the case. So, work to do. You know, they got to come across the board, and you know, obviously in the second half they had some big runs. They opened some things up, but even then the technique won. You know, like I would want it to be. You know, you got to see guys coming off the ball, and it seemed like we were a little bit hesitant coming off the ball. We weren't getting movement. You know, 2 or 3 yards off the line of scrimmage, it was just a lot of guys playing a little bit too high and not getting, you know, guys knocked off the way you would like to see it. And then on pass protection, you know, obviously we struggled there. We had Julian getting racked up, and you know, last year, I think through 12 games, we gave up 6 sacks, gave up 10 the final 2 games, you know, in the Big Ten Championship and in the Cotton Bowl. So 16 sacks for the year, that's a heck of a year, you know, when you have 14 ball games. And to give up 2 in the opener, again, it's just not the way you want it to start. And, you know, just technique issues. Phillip Daniels over there, right tackle. You know, they had a 3-man rush, had a nose, 2 defensive ends, had a linebacker, you know, basically spying, you know, looking for a delay type blitz there. So we had, you know, 2 guys on the nose, 2 guys on the right defensive end, and Phillip was 1-on-1 on the right side. And, you know, anytime a tackle, the 3rd or 4th step is turned and facing the sideline, that's not a good thing. You know, you want to make sure you keep your shoulders square parallel with the line of scrimmage as you're taking your set. And, you know, once he gets to, you know, the 3rd or 4th step, he's either going to go up the field or he's going to, you know, come at you. So you got to understand what he's doing. So if you're watching him, he's basically the guy's coming up the field. You know, just keep your shoulder square to the line of scrimmage. Keep taking your back pedal. And then, you know, once he gets to quarterback depth, you know, running by the pocket. But when you turn your shoulders, you kind of give him a short edge. And, you know, if you don't get a punch on him, which is hard when your shoulders are turned, that makes it tough too. So just across the board, you know, you got to, everybody's going to have to step up, especially going on the road. You got crowd noise. You got upgrade in talent, and, you know, that's going to have to improve this week. But when you got guys like Julian Say and Jeremiah Smith and Devin McCune, you know, things look good. And, you know, obviously to me, I thought that the passing game was there. You know, Jeremiah stepped up and made, you know, that one-handed catch, the first touchdown of the year, and then, you know, tight rope the end zone there to get a second touchdown. You know, those are all positive things. I thought Devin McCune really came in and did some nice things, you know, which I've seen, you know, throughout training camp. But then you got to go out and do it on game day, and he was able to do it. So that's going to be a threat for us down the road. And we saw some big runs in the second half by, you know, Jackson and Jackson that both, you know, came up with some big plays. And, you know, that kind of makes the running game look a little bit better when you get, what, 49 on one and 65 on the other. Those are, you know, increases your rushing average and everything you need to do. So, what, 35 yards in the first half, 202 yards in the second half as a result of a couple of those big plays kind of made the stats look good for Ohio State. So they got the win, but obviously they got some work to do and you know, go back and continue to work on your technique. And, you know, you saw during the game, third series of the game, they changed, made a position change at right tackle, put Padilla in, or Van Sickle in a guard, and, you know, moved Austin Sarabelt over to right tackle. So they're aware of it. They're watching the same things that we're seeing, and, you know, that they had to, you know, make some adjustments. And, you know, I think they made some adjustments that worked out. Now we'll see what they, you know, end up doing this week. But it's, you know, it's something that it doesn't get you till it gets you. And it certainly, you know, caught us, you know, early in that ballgame.
You know, Jim, one thing that stuck with me coming out of the game was something we heard all offseason was, you know, the playmakers really locking in on making people miss. And I think there was a nice amount of that in the game, specifically when you look at Julian's rushing touchdown on 4th down. And so just talk about that play and obviously how big that's going to be moving forward for this offense, for him to extend plays. But if he's going to be down in the red zone, scoring touchdowns too. So just lock in on that play for us, Jim.
Yeah, you know, you get down there, it's 4th down, you can't pound it in, and, you know, you got to make a play, and they decided to go for it on 4th down, 4th and goal there, and, you know, you get them spread out a little bit, and, you know, Julian, you know, reads, you know, kind of looks at the secondary, you know, buys a little bit of a time, and then, boom, quarterback draw, basically, into the end zone, and made a good cut, you know, started inside and cut it out to the left, and it was able to get in the end zone, and, yeah, that's something that's on film that, you know, that requires, you know, the defense to understand that you got that ability to do it. If you have a quarterback, you know, I protected for Dan Fouts. He was never going to run the ball. You know, that was just the quarterback run was totally out of the equation. So and the defense knew that, you know, so they knew that they can have some extra guys that have to worry about quarterback run. But when you have to worry about quarterback run, you know, that gives a little bit of advantage to the offense. It was good to see Julian put that on film and then execute it and get in the end zone. So having that threat, to have a quarterback that shows that he can do that, you know, definitely will pay off down the road. But to head fourth down success on both our plays, that we won 2 for 2 on fourth down, so that was positive for Ohio State. But again, just as a whole, you know, having guys on the outside that are threats, like Ohio State has, you know, those are kind of our money makers, and those are the ones that you have to make sure that you're kind of game planned and got them in the game plan, and certainly Arthur Smith was able to do that, you know, against Ball State.
Should be a monster week. I know you're on the round table tonight, my man, so we'll be listening. Yep. Appreciate it very much, Jim. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, bud. Jim Lachey, the former All-American Super Bowl champ here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. You could hear it in his voice. That's some tough love right there. That's not a, hey, we won 56-3, don't look here. Like he's assessing that offensive line, and they're going to have to be really good this week. And I wasn't sensing that he was anticipating any major changes, but there may be some movement on that line and something to sync that thing up. But they were trying to establish it early, didn't. Now, there was a time where, you know, Phillip maybe, you know, wasn't as fast as his guy off the edge. It made Julian climb the pocket, but he climbed the pocket right into a delayed blitzer who saw that opportunity. But, yeah, that's the only thing I said at the beginning of the show is that we're led to believe this is a strength of the team, not a strength from last year, not that they strengthened it, that it's a true strength, that it's something they will hang their hat on, this offensive line. And you could tell from his voice, it's certainly after week one, he wasn't overly impressed.
So that's now three games in a row that there's this feeling of uncertainty right now up front amongst the offensive line, going back to Indiana, Miami, and now Ball State at least for a half until they ripped off some of those big time plays. And so then that's not going to quiet down all week, especially when you have to go into what will be a very tough environment. So outside of the physical aspect of what they need to clean up, they better make sure that their communication is on point too, and dealing with the noise and all that, and not allowing Texas to have extra at bats, right? And bailing them out with false starts or any of that stuff. And so that's what you have to do going on the road. And so you're right. This, we've been told this is a veteran group that has come back and they're ready to go. And coming out of game one, there's still a little bit of, what do we got there? And so they got to get that ready to go, because we know what this schedule is about, and it starts on Saturday at 7:30.
We come back with Party Like a Rothstar next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
A lot of people compare Austin to Columbus, except we actually win things. It's Texas Week on your home of the Buckeyes, the Fan.
D.I.C.
It's Wednesday Night Football on the Fan. Whoa, big voice guy checks script. Yep, Wednesday. Catch the Patriots and Seahawks in a Super Bowl rematch. Live coverage starts Wednesday at 8.
Sponsored by Roosters.
Your home of the NFL. The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. Catch every game at JT's with award-winning pizza, $2 Yingling Tall Boys, and $20 domestic buckets.
Let's all gather into the Kiki. It's time to party like a Rothstar.
All right, welcome back in. TLC, I don't know where he's at. Probably out there talking about our fantasy draft today.
You know how I roll, man. As long as one of you is in here, I'm okay. If both of you are out and I got to anchor this thing, hell to the no.
He's still... Oh, here he is. So I'll lead it off.
Okay.
I'm going to lead this thing off.
I knew this week. I could tell that commercial break was going to be dicey. Because I think all three of us went back and then came back to studio and then went back out there.
I'm going with Samuel Levitt, starting quarterback for the LSU Tigers.
Good decision.
Stat line is absolutely bananas through the air. 16 of 28, 231, did have an interception, but 12 carries for a 113 and 2 touchdowns on the ground. I know we're going to get more into the game later, but that dude coming in from Arizona State had a lot of eyeballs on him, because, you know, inside Lane Kiffin's offenses, things can get really exciting, and there's a lot of upside for quarterbacks. He stepped up, answered the call. Sam Levitt, new starting quarterback for the LSU Tigers, partying like a rock star.
All right, I'll take a quarterback, and I'm going to go to the Pitt Panthers. Mason Heinchel absolutely busted the box score. 6'2", 215-pounder sophomore from Oregon, Ohio. Assume that's up near Toledo. 7 TDs through the air.
Crazy.
7. And he found a different receiver for all 7.
Mm-hmm.
So he set an ACC record along the way. He passed Kenny Pickett, tied Pete Gonzalez for the most in a game there. He's the first quarterback since Joey B to throw for 7 TDs with no picks.
Okay.
In a 2019? 59-14 over the Miami Redhawks. Mason Heinschel.
Okay.
Ohio boy, partying like a rock star. He was 31 of 41 for 453 and 7 touchdowns, no picks.
Yeah, that's...
Party like a rock star.
I'm going to go with a quarterback in a program that I couldn't wait to see because they have a new head coach in the Big Ten, and that is Matt Campbell. His quarterback specifically, Rocco's Modern Life Becht, he comes out efficient right out of the gate. 13 of 18, 271, and 4 touchdowns. I've always thought Matt Campbell did a solid job over at Iowa State. I like the thought process of, hey, I'm going to bring my guy with me that knows the system, knows what we do well, and that can get him, I think, a spark early on in the season. And so they played Marshall, shouldn't have faced much resistance. They didn't. They shut him out. It was 45-0. But getting a first look at the offense led by Rocco Becht, I thought it was an efficient day for them. We'll see how much they can do in the coming weeks and how legit they are. But I'll give Rocco Becht his flowers today. He was partying like a roster over the weekend.
All right, I'll stay with college football, and I'll go with, well, let me start with Baylor. So Baylor's going for the win against Auburn after scoring in the final seconds. After multiple timeouts, Baylor goes for 2. DJ Lagway throws behind his big tight end, and Eric Winters has to wrap and drive him and prevent him from crossing the plane. Homegrown kid from Auburn, went to high school about 100 miles south of the campus, grew up an Auburn fan when they were a chasing natties. 11 tackles, 1 forced fumble, and the game-ending tackle on a 2-point try, delivering for Alex Golish his debut win at Auburn. Mm-hmm. It was pretty amazing. I was watching it live.
Good
stuff. Eric Winters, party like a roster.
Last guy for me. I'm going with Ellie De La Cruz. Quiet over the weekend. Cincinnati Reds taking 2 of 3 from the best team in Major League Baseball, that being the Milwaukee Brewers by record. Maybe not in the minds of some. People are going to lean with the Dodgers, but Brewers having a hell of a season. But Ellie was in his bag over the weekend. Home runs on Saturday and a home run on Sunday. Had 4 RBIs in the game yesterday, a couple walks as well. You look at his line for the season, he's batting .280 with 23 home runs and 66 RBIs. This dude is an absolute freak show out there on the field. Just a pleasure to watch, man. So I know we've moved on to football season, a lot of us, and I totally get that. But the Reds, Ellie De La Cruz, nice little weekend. Him specifically at the plate, just doing his thing, partying like a rock star, GABP.
All right, it's being called the biggest upset at the U.S. Open so far that you don't know about. And so a tournament favorite, fresh off winning the 2 biggest titles this summer in Montreal and Cincinnati, was taken out by an American wildcard team ranked below 700 in the ATP rankings. Because it was doubles is why you didn't hear about it.
Okay.
And it was the biggest upset. The pair from Ohio State, Nikita Phelan and Brandon Carpico, upset the tandem from Brazil. The number 8 seeds took them out in the opening round, probably in front of about 200 fans. They followed that up, winning in 3 yesterday. And Phelan's from Glenview, Illinois. He's a big rising star. And Carpico's from Gahanna, and he's also a star. And they were the NCAA doubles runners-up last fall. They only got into the U.S. Open when they won the USTA's collegiate wildcard playoffs doubles in June. That title in Orlando, and now they're into the 3rd round at the U.S. Open as a doubles team. The Buckeyes are moving on. It was pretty massive yesterday.
I like that. I know you and TLC got to be pretty charged up about this semifinal we're getting tomorrow with the men. Was it Shelton and
Ben against Alcaraz?
Yeah. You guys got to be charged up about that one.
That'll be a good one.
Should be. Alcaraz is, the guy took how much time off, and he just looks like a
just the guy, huh?
Stud.
I think this was his first slam of the year.
Crazy.
He's different.
Yeah, he's a dude, but Shelton certainly has the serve to keep up with him. We'll see.
Is he still with Rodman's daughter? They still a thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Trinity's there.
Trinity, okay.
Trinity's there in an I Love My Boyfriend t-shirt.
Supporting her, man. I'm here for it. Folks, I want you to listen closely because the wait is over. Football is here. DraftKings is on, and this September, DraftKings is giving all customers the opportunity to get boosted every game day. That's right. Every game day all month long, DraftKings customers can get a profit boost. Plus, get extra protection with early exit. Opt in. And if your player leaves the game with an eligible injury in the first half, your bet is protected. New DraftKings customers sign up with the code THEFAN971. Again, that code is THEFAN971. Spend just $5 and you get 200 in rewards within 21 days. That's code THEFAN971 in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus, Ohio only. Eligibility restrictions apply. $50 in non-withdrawal bonus bets issued every 7 days via click to claim for 21 days. Bonus bets expire every 7 days after issuance. One football boost per customer. Maximum bet limits and restrictions apply. Tokens expire at the end of the final select game each day when offer. Terms at dkng.co/offer. Again, that's dkng.co/offer. Limited time offer. Don't mess around. Get on over to DraftKings.
All right, we'll see if you can light them up. 821-9710 is the number. We got a free Skyline gift card giveaway here on Labor Day for you. Best call gets it. 821-9710 is the number, and we'll take you next. Rothman.
Live better.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. 88 players took part in Ohio State's 56-3 win over Ball State Saturday. It's most in a game since 2019. Of those 88, 54 of them played 10 or more snaps. Head coach Ryan Day said after the game, it was good to get a bunch of guys into the ball game. Ohio State will visit Texas Saturday at 7:30. Against the fifth-ranked Longhorns, head coach Ryan Day will join Buckeye Roundtable around 6:30 tonight on The Fan. In college football, 19th-ranked SMU visits Florida State at 7:30 to close the Week 1 slate. And in baseball today, the Guardians travel to the Orioles at 1:35, just two games back of first in the AL Central. Tonight, Reds visit the Dodgers at 9:10. This update is sponsored by Germain Toyota, located on the corner of I-70 and Bryce Road. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan.
It's time for your calls on Rothman and Ice. The floor is yours. Call the show right now, 614-821-9710. Whether you have a gripe,
I've never seen such incompetence,
or some praise.
You're the best voice in sports radio, man, and I really mean that.
The floor is yours.
Come on!
Sponsored by Window Nation. Add 4 new windows for free windows and 0 payments for 2 years.
You know the amount of, like, emails and text I'm getting about Will Howard's slide against Oregon is amazing. Like, I'm not denying that's absolutely correct. Like, that clock's supposed to be dead the second you go into your slide, and I'm getting a lot of freeze frames. Why didn't they overturn this one? And yeah, who knows? It's amazing. Yeah, no, what do you got going on over
Reese
there?
Reese Davis playing off. What is going to happen?
Yeah, you got it on auto draft, on auto play.
It was funny because it was up during the break, because you and I were listening to Kyle Whittingham at his press conference this morning, and there's just the approach that he's taking right now with Bryce Underwood. I'm not a coach, but I don't know if I'd be playing the card of, hey, his job's not 100% secure going into one of the biggest games of the week. Like, that planting a little seed of doubt, I guess, in a quarterback's mind or any player's mind, I think is a bit of a questionable move. So we'll see how Bryce Underwood responds and how the team responds, because they did not look good at all. Like, the Hail Mary win is kind of all-consuming when it comes to that game. But if anybody watched the game, you saw that the Broncos were getting busy up there, and they were, I think, more physically imposing and doing a lot of what they wanted. It wasn't a sexy game for any team, really, but that was a shocker to see Kyle Whittingham and Michigan come out flat like that. I'm sure a whole bunch of Buckeye fans enjoyed it until they did.
Yeah, the only thing I could say for Kyle Whittingham is he's being consistent, because he was pretty matter of fact about how much Underwood needed to improve during spring practices. So he's been, now he was praising him in fall camp. Like spring, he was a little more concerned or more real. Then in fall camp, he was loving him. So
yeah.
Whether or not the excitement was accurate or not, or he was trying to just build some excitement, well, now that's just got torn to shreds. So whatever it was. So now he's coming back to maybe what it was like during the spring. But they've used every compliment they can to describe him in fall camp. Like somebody even said it was night and day on how, right? It's night and day.
It better be with the money that they're paying him. He better get going and get going quickly.
Should coaches have to care about that?
About what?
About the money.
Yeah, because I think it impacts some of their decisions. Some of them. I don't know how it can't.
He's got Tommy Carr sitting there, who was pushed by this other guy for the number two job.
That's CJ's little bro, right?
Yep.
CJ's little bro. I think they showed on the
is
broadcast.
Is that your little brother?
Both
good-looking kid.
Both parents were at the game at Lambeau last night. Fun atmosphere up there last night.
Yeah, I mean, you can't make a move right before Oklahoma, so I'm with you on that. Like, there's no move to be made. Now, if they just get their doors blown off at halftime,
you got to think about it.
Then maybe you could do it.
I just think.
But then you're doing it for not just that game. You're probably thinking, okay, maybe it's the other guy's chance now, because they have UTEP following Oklahoma, and then they get Iowa at home. They'll get Penn State at home. They'll get Indiana at home. Like, they're a little bit front loaded here. So,
yeah, I just think, man, regardless of who it is, like, even if it wasn't Michigan, like, I just going into any game, but especially a big game like this, I think you got to fake it just a little bit. Even if you don't really feel that way, I don't think you go public with a little bit of your doubts, uncertainty about your quarterback. I just would think, like, if, hey, I'm the coach, like, hey, totally believe in him. Yes, we got things to work on, but he's going to be our guy, and we'll know he'll come out better on the other side. Now, I might be in the coaches' meetings and say, I don't know about this, fellas. We might have to start getting somebody else ready to go, but they get to host this game at Oklahoma. We'll see what this momentum, if you want to call it that, can do for them with a much better team coming to town, led by a much better quarterback in John Mateer.
I didn't watch the entire game, so I don't know how much, if Whittingham would have come to that press conference and tried to fake it, a guy who was 12 for 22. Like, I honestly don't know.
No, I think I'm going for more of the emotional part of this, the psyche part, the psychological part of this for your own guy. I just don't think publicly coming out with the comments he made, I don't see that doing much good for a player.
Yeah.
But
well,
who am I?
You got to be real with some of these guys, and if he's making the money we think he's making, then it has become real. All right, feeling good at Skyline time, enjoying a couple cheese conies or a Skyline three-way always makes the day better. The gift card's up for the grabs. TLC, who you got in the queue?
Where to start? Let's go Jack in Columbus.
Jack in Columbus, the floor is yours, my man.
Gentlemen, thank you for being here on Labor Day. What a great weekend. First off, you know, it's so awesome to have Lachey in on, like, Mondays, especially when I had, like, concerns about the offensive line. He explains it the way it should be. It's like, why isn't this guy the line coach for Ohio State? Switch it to another Jim Tressel, Ring of Honor, most deserving. Got class back, made me feel proud to be a Buckeye again. Took care of Michigan, obviously. And speaking of Michigan, Western Michigan, I'm sorry. There could be 3 minutes on the clock, and they run that play 10 times. It should never, ever be completed. There's no way that you let a Hail Mary beat you like that. That being said, let me switch gears real quick to the two most polarizing coaches, I think, in college football, Lane Kiffin and Blabo Sweeney. It's great that he got run like that. But if I remember right, guys, and correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't he the heir apparent behind Nick Saban at Alabama?
Sweeney?
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
All right. So as an ex-player for Bama, yes, when things are going well, as an ex-GA, as an ex-wide receivers coach, tight ends, yes, it seemed when he caught fire at Clemson and wins the two natties, you're thinking that, okay, he might want to fall, but he had it so cooking, now the timing's gone. Jack, I'm with you. I bet if he really pushed for it after Saban, maybe he could have gotten it, or probably they would have considered him. But I'm here to tell you that Dabo is a dinosaur right now. Like, he cannot back up anything.
Imagine, let's say, live in a world where Kalen DeBoer, they move on from him. I don't think that's going to happen. But then they roll out Dabo after what he's done the last few years and his lack of want to really hop in the NIL game, the transfer portal game. Like, it was embarrassing watching them on Saturday. Like, it's just an unrecognizable brand at this point, which is just wild because of the history that you just highlighted and where they were a few years ago, right? With just it being in the mix, playing in natties and all that stuff. It's just, it's wild, but it's his own doing. And you can't feel for a guy that doesn't want to play the game when it's appropriate for you to play the game right now in this era of college football.
It's fallen off in the last 3-4 years for him. And he's tried to stiff arm it and he's getting run over. And that team should have been a little more competitive. I'm not here to tell you they're as good as LSU. They're not. LSU is maybe that good, but you got to show up. You had the distractions for LSU. You had your team presumably fired up.
Now, and not you everybody were chirping, looked, too.
Yes, that's it. Can't back up the talk
and
anymore.
And you were talking leading into that game.
We'll stay in our lane.
Well, yeah. Nobody else is in that lane because it ain't a good lane to be in.
All right, who's next?
Christopher is in Urbana.
Christopher Urbana, the floor is yours. Take it away.
What's up? What's up, fellas? Hey, I'm sitting here with my 9-year-old daughter. We've listened to you guys every morning on the way to school, and today we're listening to you on Labor Day. So big fans. Appreciate you guys. And just calling out the Big Ten this weekend. I mean, we got a defending national champions, Indiana, steamrolling, USC, Michigan with the squeaker, Oregon, Penn State, Ohio State. Wisconsin put up a good game first half, fell apart. But can we please relegate Rutgers? We're big Skyline fans, too.
Because the UMass thing was a joke. Appreciate the call, Christopher. Appreciate the compliments off the top. But, yeah, I mean, UMass comes into your house. And offensively, AR, it just felt like that was just, hey, like we're going to do whatever we want when we want. In that game. Like, I want to go back and pull it up because the balance that UMass showed against Rutgers, that should never happen. Now, I know they had a Power 4 quarterback transfer in from Virginia Tech in William Watson, Randy Watson the third, but William Watson comes in, 3 touchdowns, no interception, and UMass averages 5 yards a carry in the game and runs for 200 yards. And so, yeah, I mean, Rutgers, look, Shiano, what he built years and years and years ago, you respect that. But, man, they're far off from that at the moment, to say the least.
When the first question after the game, when the fan base is saying, I wonder what our coach's buyout is, that's not good. And I'll tell you the other thing. UMass shouldn't be sneaking up on anybody.
Facts.
That team is awful. They didn't win a game last year. I mean, they haven't beaten a Power 4 conference in years.
You don't ever want, the Minutemen's always tough, too. Yeah. You know, fellas, we don't want to be a Minuteman in life. You know?
Man, I mean, that's like, that's not where they should, quote, get off the schneid.
What's next for Rutgers there? You got that in front of you?
They play Boston College on the road, and then they're home against USC.
Okay, so yeah, this
And they'll get Indiana in the month of October as well.
Where's that game? The Indiana game.
Oh, it's a gauntlet.
In Piscataway.
Oh, man. So they got USC and Indiana coming in the next few weeks.
Yeah. Maybe a chance for Shiano to circle the wagons.
Or fire Shiano chance starting in the stands.
I'll tell you what. I'll check his. You got more calls, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's spill a few over. Jack and Chris are definitely involved in the gift card. And we'll spill a couple over here. And then I'll find out what Mr. Shiano's buyout is during the break. Roth 4.
Retirement from football hits everyone differently. For Devere Posey and Dane Sanzenbacher, it means sitting around watching sports clips on the internet and arguing about them. Search for Didn't Catch That on YouTube and subscribe. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Great weather for your Labor Day. What you see is what you get for the rest of the day. Mostly sunny skies and highs of around 82. Comfortable humidity, all things considered, and a gentle east wind. Mostly clear skies tonight, 63. For your Tuesday, mostly sunny, a little warmer, a little more humid, highs of 86. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Are you fired up? Is it Monday? It must be Reaction Monday.
Sponsored by The Roofing Guys.
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Anthony used to ski in his jeans? Are you serious? No, he's not from New Jersey. Back to Rothman and Ice.
All right, we continue. Here's the update on Schiano.
Oh, yeah, the bio. Yeah. What do you got?
Well, his record now is 31-42 in his second stint at Rutgers. So he made back-to-back bowls a couple years ago, and then they slumped to 5-7 last year. And then the home loss to UMass, and the way they, although I shouldn't say that, because even if they just lost, it would have been bad. But mm-hmm. I guess it is worse when you get embarrassed by UMass. And they're, so if the school were to make a change, here's the problem. He's owed 77% of his remaining base salary when he's fired. So if he is let, if he's let go at the end of, let's say, November, so that would be approximately $18 million. And 18 is actually not a lot when you think about what these schools are handing out to these coaches. Mm-hmm. To just send them away. Call up a big, rich booster and say, hey, you want to be the guy that fired Schiano? It'll cost you $18 million.
Oh, my goodness. We mentioned the home games that are on deck, USC, Indiana. Mm-hmm. Michigan's going to come to town on October 31st. They still have to go to Penn State November 21st as well. And this, look, the UMass thing is embarrassing, but I think programs like a Rutgers right now, in this world of college football that we're living in, you're really up against it. Because even if you do stack up a nice amount of talent, whether it's, you know, the old fashioned way, if you will, with high school guys coming in or guys that you can grab, you know, pluck from the portal, a lot of those guys may have eyes elsewhere, right? If they have a good season at Rutgers, is the financial commitment the same as it is other places? I can't imagine that's the case out there and what they're doing. And so it's hard to stack up good season after good seasons at programs like Rutgers right now because there's so much movement around the sport. And when you have a schedule like they have on deck with the ranked opponents that are coming down the line, and look, we'll see how good Michigan is at that point on October 31st. You have to win games like UMass, because if you don't, then you're going to be staring down the barrel of a really, really nasty record problem.
Here's the quote from Schiano. Maddie, you said coaches should maybe fake it every now and then.
Protect your guys a little bit.
All right.
Protect your guys a little bit.
He may have taken your class, your seminar.
Okay.
Here's Schiano. Quote, we're going to chop our way out of this, and we're going to be a good football team. If I didn't believe in the people downstairs, I wouldn't say that. I'd say, hey, things have gone awry, but that's not how I feel. That's not what I believe.
Okay. My guess is that Rutgers fans are probably a little sick of hearing the chop the wood thing. Kind of like,
how else are you going to get out of it,
Maddie? Minnesota fans are off the rowing of the boat thing. Like, you know, you hear that year in and year out. And when there isn't a lot of success that comes along with that mantra, then it's like, okay, let's hear something else. So coming out of the UMass game, if I'm a Rutgers fan, chopping our way out of it, okay, sure. I guess that doesn't move me anymore.
All coaches come in with certain ones like that, and you're right. If you make it your mantra, then eventually it loses a little bit of its luster. Remember, like when Tom Allen was at Indiana, his was Leo, love each other, and it was good at the beginning, right? He wanted to send that message. I think you send that privately to your guys. I don't know if you mm-hmm. stamp it on the helmets,
yeah.
right?
I just think it's.
All right, let's go back to the phones and the one and only, Danny in Delaware. Your dime, your dance floor.
Boys, happy Monday, happy Labor Day. Guess what? Football's back. Let's go. And, I mean, it was an absolute amazing weekend. I honestly don't know where to start, but actually I do. By congratulating that team up north for blowing their load on the first week of the season. Leave it to Michiscum to come back, win against an unranked team, storm the field, and then somehow still lose the weekend. They all can't be Ohio State, where we're producing winners and we're producing legends, a.k.a. I am Legend Bay. If I were Ryan Day, he should be on the field every offensive play. I don't care if he tried to pull it out of the end zone on those kickoffs. Let him do work. You saw what he could do. That's why you brought him in. He is a legend for a reason. Now, I do want to pivot to the NFL and actually where I was supposed to start last week, before I had to cater to the Keebler elf, Mr. Adam King. The fake wide receiver, Dejon Love, I personally don't think it's that big of a deal because Jerry Jeudy has been scamming us as a Browns wide receiver for the past 3 years. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. And since we are in NFL week, Browns are playing Jacksonville this weekend, I need to confirm our bet. If the Browns win 7 games, I get to come be an intern for the day. If they don't, I buy you guys lunch. Can we confirm that bet is good to go?
Confirmed.
I think we got to run that by the higher-ups. I'm in on
it. The higher-up is TLC. Just confirmed it.
If the higher-ups
are going 7-10.
First of all, I got to have them win 6. I'm not saying I wasn't idiot enough to bet 7, but 6, I thought was one more than last year. I thought was doable, but that was when they had Miles.
Well, if they land on 6, wow, then it's the best of both worlds.
Garrett? By the way, you know what I forgot to tell Danny? Yeah. He probably already knew this. Deshaun is a captain.
Sure, the fans love that decision. Who are all the captains?
I don't know.
Garrett. Miles?
Let me see if I can find out.
Are they like the Rams
you,
where they have a whole 11-man fleet?
He's a captain for the first week. Like, they don't. Well, he's like a week one captain. I don't think they. Right?
I think what a lot of teams do.
Yeah, like if a guy's injured, he's not.
They have like way too many captains, and then they probably rotate within the group of captaincy.
For the group.
Okay. And the Rams did name 11. Aaron Donald was not one of them, correct?
Yeah, nor should he be.
Maddie, you know where you stand.
He's Aaron Donald.
You know where you stand talent-wise when you're not naming captains for the season. It's a week to week. It's a pay as you go. I love it.
They're already predicting that we'll have to have a revote at some point mid season.
Well, sure, because once Shador goes in, Deshaun's not going to be your captain anymore.
I can't wait to see.
Are captains
that game
overrated?
Nah, not necessarily. I don't think so. Not necessarily. I mean, there's all different kinds of captains. It's like I really feel like Rick Bonus might go with no captains this year. He might. He's done it before.
Everybody wears the A.
I just don't think it's sometimes, you know, do you need it in certain rooms? Potentially, but I don't, it's not, you asked the question, are they overrated?
I mean, for us, or like,
we don't feel the impact on the outside of buildings.
Yeah.
Like we don't know the everyday grind.
I also don't think that you have to like name them. It's like a tradition in sports.
He named Watson, the guard Zion Johnson, the cornerback Tyson Campbell, a defensive tackle Mason Graham, and the long snapper. Oh, expecting a very busy week.
Captain
Rex Sudahara.
I wonder if they like require a special teams like they have offensive and defensive and special teams. Maybe they do that.
That wouldn't surprise
But just like, if you don't have captains, it's like a title to designate, hey, this is one of the leaders of the team. So it's like if you didn't have a vote, that player would stop being a leader?
I'm pretty sure, to your point, that one of the best special teams guys ever, Matthew Slater, was a captain for the Patriots. So, yeah, I could understand how.
He's also on the team for a long time, so maybe that had something to do with it.
Different pockets of your roster, you want a guy that can be a different voice outside of the coaches. And I think you were alluding to this. Like, a lot of these things we probably don't even see.
Yeah.
Dinners, speeches, taking young guys here, doing this and that. Like, it's a lot behind closed doors where I think that there is value in it. But I don't know if it's the end all be all or if certain guys are captains that it makes a massive difference on a team. Like, I don't know.
We have to take a vote to figure out which one player is going to go out there and say tails. Which, by the way, the coaches tell them in advance, hey, we want the ball. Hey, we don't want the ball. They're not even making that decision.
Hey, can you do me a favor or one of you guys? Because I haven't seen this yet. And since we're talking about the Browns, what is the line for the game on Sunday? Jacksonville's going to be favored.
I got it.
Actually, yeah, we should have.
I got it.
What is
it? I like to do favors for people. So I'll give you this.
Thank you.
The Cleveland Browns on the road are getting 8.5.
Okay.
All right, so this will not be one of the 6.
I doubt it. I agree.
Where's the first one coming from? The Jets?
Weeks 3 and 4 are doable.
Maybe the Berg.
Short week coming out of hosting Carolina, playoff team a year ago.
Panthers are doable. Steelers are doable.
Jets are doable.
Jets are doable. Okay.
And I need 3 before the bye week.
You need 2 of those 3, AR.
I just need 3 before the bye week. Anyway, I can get
week 11 bye week?
Because I can get the 4th coming out of the bye week against Vegas. I think I can get that.
That might be Fernando by then.
And then I believe that I got a chance to get number 5 against Atlanta.
I think that'll be Penix by then.
And then I feel like
Is that home?
I got a chance, depending on what the Colts are.
Another home game for
you. And then I'm hoping that maybe Cincinnati has it wrapped up the way they did in 21 when the Browns swept them.
Here's my
fear. And that's
how
I get my six.
If you don't win two of the three between Carolina, Pittsburgh, and New York, I think you're cooked. That there has to be two wins in that.
I'd like to get three before the bye, though. So I need all three of those. Or I need something. Maybe they win at Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. A 3-7 start, is that?
Well, that's what I need to win six.
Yeah.
And then I can get the fourth
coming
out. I'm saying
you might need more.
Yeah. I'm worried about this defense, too.
I think
These road games before. He's going to be good. I
Jared
agree.
Versus good.
He's going to be good. I just, man.
Don't worry, Matty. They're going to chop their way out of it.
That trade was so good for the Browns. Like,
I still like the trade.
Jared versus good. He's not Miles Garrett, but he's good.
He's a good player.
And you'll have him for 7 years, basically, if you like him, and then you can extend him. Yeah, that'd be good.
Probably have a really good rookie quarterback next year, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah. That's, well.
Hopefully. Well, we shall see.
And they prefer probably not to win six.
It's going to be a brutal season for Browns fans, but next offseason will be super exciting.
It'll be entertaining. Yeah,
so it'll just take a gauntlet getting there.
And then getting to Brook Park at some point to feel like you have a franchise quarterback when you open that new stadium.
You need a name on the marquee. Yeah. You absolutely need
something to believe.
A name on the marquee.
Something to sell those PSLs and all that good stuff.
No doubt.
All right, we're going to come back with our friend Adam King at 10 TV. I saw him sauntering around the stadium on Saturday. Okay. He was skull session, all that.
Yeah.
Chaperoning people.
He's always in the mix.
Recognize. We'll talk to him next. Rothman and
Ice. Cooling.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hear ye, hear ye. You've now entered Adam's King. Dumb. With 10TV's Adam King. Don't be shy. Gather around. Stupid conversation awaits you.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Locally inspired dishes and award-winning cocktails. Visit highbankco.com today. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
I was kind of hoping that Maddie didn't do you a solid there. Because our fantasy draft's at 7, and he told you it was at 8. And I wish he wouldn't have corrected himself.
Let me tell you something. If you think I didn't know it was at 7, right. I saw the email. I was ready to go. I knew what he was doing.
You're a very busy man. You might be shopping for more Lacoste shirts. I don't know.
Everybody says, Matt, you go low, Matty Ice goes lower. It's a statement around the office, and that's. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised that he would want to start.
Somebody say I live by the mantra, you go low, I take it to hell.
Well, that's, you know? Wow. Get that on a shirt.
You know, when I was a kid, because I know you like to kid me about this, those shirts were very popular.
Yes.
And I will tell you that I never owned one. And I said this to Matt. It's ironic you're wearing that because I said this to him maybe 2 months ago.
Nice.
I said to him, you know, I never wanted to own one, even if I couldn't afford it. But if I could, I don't think I ever would have worn it because the quote, alligator shirt, which the irony is it's actually a crocodile, but the alligator shirt was deemed very preppy. That was like the preppiest thing you could wear. And then polo kind of knocked it a little bit off its perch. And I looked at Maddie, and because I've seen some tennis guys wearing, Djokovic is an alligator guy. And I said to Maddie, I never owned one. And I was in the era where everybody had one or everybody wanted to have one. And I said to him, I go, maybe now is the time. Maybe I can circle all the way back.
Come on back.
All these decades later and say, maybe now. And now I'm seeing you wear it. And I'm like, nope, I got to keep the streak going.
Wow.
You're out on the polo.
It's a youth. I just realized I can't pull it off. I would not want to pull it off.
Your polo right now is very creative.
This is a penguin.
But it's got drinks and a whole bunch of stuff on it. I like them both. I think you could pull that off.
I'll say this.
The Lacoste.
This polo was a gift.
Expensive.
It was a gift.
Okay.
And
to yourself.
No, not to myself. It was a gift from Lene Kukua's father.
Okay, nice.
And
was this in Spain? Is this a European cut?
It is not a European cut. But I'll tell you, this man has the best style of any human you've ever met. Like, he will go shopping. He, first of all, is so good at finding deals. I give him a shout out all the time. And he, like, When you open a gift from this guy, you know whatever's going to be on the other end is you're very lucky.
How can I get on his Christmas shopping list? What do I need to do?
Marry another daughter?
Well, sadly, He's only got one daughter.
Yeah. Okay.
And
okay.
From what I hear, she's engaged.
I'll do some chores, you know? I'll do some chores around the house, whatever you need, because I need to be a polo.
Well, you're never going to get a hand-me-down, because I wear 98%. And you guys are like, oh, I like what he's wearing today. 98% of it's from him.
Okay.
He's out there. He's got it figured out.
All right, so you're at the shoe on Saturday.
Yes.
Final score looks good. Everybody kind of got healthy for the most part. I haven't heard anything about that. We talked about the offensive line early and then late figuring things out. Hit us with your big takeaway from game number one.
I don't know if they would ever admit this, but I am curious. Did you guys notice how different the run scheme looked in the second half? It looked like in the first half they ran a very generic run scheme. What's the way to put this? Very bland. This is what every run game is going to look like.
The Ball State game.
Yes. And then in the second half, it felt like, okay, we need to figure this out because it's not where it needs to be if we're going to go play Texas. And the second they switched that switch, it started cooking. And from there on out, I mean, you're looking at Jacoby Jackson running for 50 yards with Bo Jackson already in the house with a 60-yarder. So I thought that was one of my biggest takeaways is it looked like they said, okay, we need to try some stuff here, and it worked. You seemed hesitant.
I'm hesitant only because I think you should be able to be vanilla and still be able to run against Ball State. And they weren't early. To your credit, they made some adjustments, but you're also dealing with a Ball State team that eventually was going to get worn down anyway, right? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, eventually, they don't have the rotation Ohio State to. Eventually, you could keep running at them, and they would. And Ohio State has the talent to run around anybody. Those guys are very good. And
are you saying because they're a MAC team? Because I watched, I don't know if you saw this, there was a different team in the Big Ten that played a MAC team, and they could not run on them, do anything
but
really.
They weren't preseason number one in America.
Well, that's great. They were preseason number one in their own heart, and they looked atrocious. So I'm just saying, these MAC teams, they're not the easiest thing to beat. You know, it's what sometimes some teams need an extra second to even beat a MAC team.
We're going to get to that with you in a second.
Oh, good, because I'm all fired up.
No pun intended.
So, there you go. Good job, Ayo. It's great. Legend base usage in game one.
Ooh!
Heard about him all season. Hey, running back can do this, can do that. You can see why they're excited about him. Sure, he's got to gain the trust with ball security and as a young guy and all of that. But yeah, right out of the gate, AK, you can see the vision of how that can be a spark plug within this offense this year.
You know, there are moments in Ohio State history that you can kind of look back and remember, like, oh, yeah, that was when he, like, think about Jackson Smith and Jigba. Remember that catch against Nebraska when Njigba put his foot down and, like, reached out?
Yeah.
Yeah. There are moments with players where you're like, oh, that's going to be something.
Different. Yeah, he's a little different.
That was Legend Bay. Mm-hmm. That was absolutely Legend Bay on Saturday. The man, he cooked like he ran around the whole defense. I don't know any other way to say it. Like, he just is different.
It was playground.
It was, you know what?
Basically, it was like we used to play real quick. I didn't mean to cut you off. But
No. That was a perfect way to describe it.
A real quick interjection. So when I was at Channel 6, we used to play football against other stations. Like, that's when the whole guy gets thrown into a chain link fence and there's a fight, like true Anchorman type stuff. So anyway, one weekend it must have been early 2000s. And Gary Berry, the former Buckeye, came to our game. A bunch of us knew him, and I know him, and Worthington kid and all that. And he came and he played with us. And that's what that was. Never touched, running around, just making everybody look foolish. And that's what that was, that play. I agree with you. He is a weapon that would never be kept off the field anyway. I don't care how many mistakes he would make. In big games, he's gonna be a big part of it. That was a hell of a run.
You know,
swing pass, right? Then it was
a
run.
Yeah. You just reminded me of something that I feel we don't have enough in adulthood.
Fun.
Like rec games where you just go out and like nobody texts each other on a Thursday and it's like, hey, you want to get a little game of like 5-on-5 football
going?
It's
pre-cell phone a little bit though. I mean, there were cell phones, but it wasn't, the internet was in its infancy still.
But he's like, just saying like people making the effort.
Yeah, but I'm saying nowadays, like, I'm saying you and I like call each other on a Saturday morning in a non-football season.
Well, you know what it is now? It's golf.
Yes, it is golf.
It's golf. It's too much time.
I would love if you were like, hey, we're going to meet up at the park down the street, and we're going to, we got eight guys, we're going to play a little 4v4 football, and let's go, you know? And I'd be okay with tackle, you know? I remember when I was a kid, I still think about it, his name was Tim Boyd. I was a, we were playing football in the park across the street. There was like, it was like 11, 12 guys, six on six. And it was tackle football. And Tim Boyd hit me so hard that my pants fell off. And that's the hardest I've ever been hit in my entire life.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. So here's
no truth to the rumor that you already had them unbuttoned.
That is not accurate.
And you were hoping that maybe he tackled the pants off of you.
Yeah. And to this day, I think about the fact that I was for sure concussed. I mean, we're talking like this man hit me like a prime linebacker, smacked me into the ground. And
had the little birdies floating around your head and all that stuff.
But back then it was like, all right, get up and go home, you know?
Since you brought this up.
Yeah.
4v4.
Okay.
Put together your team, fan personnel only, non-former Buckeyes off the board.
Oh, that's easy.
So no Tyvus, DeVere, Dane.
Because I'm lining Dane and DeVere out wide. I think Tyvus be a good quarterback. All right.
So I'm assuming you're going to be the quarterback. I can't imagine that you would want to play any other position.
No.
Okay.
I'll be wide receiver. I can catch the ball really well, and I can put some moves on if my knees don't.
So you get three other guys from the fan.
From the fan.
To fill out your roster.
From my team. Ooh. And we're going to remove you two from this. Is that okay? Because I don't want any hurt feeling. And Cole as well, because I feel like Cole would be good. Cole would be a good.
Rangy.
Yeah,
rangy tight end over the middle.
Well, JJ McKeown, Buchanan.
JJ,
I combined JJ Buchanan McCarthy and Devin McKeown into one. But yeah, he could be your JJ Buchanan.
Okay.
I don't know why we get removed from this. No one's feelings are going to get hurt. Everyone's available.
How's your arm?
It's good.
How far can you throw a football?
Country mile.
Over the mountains over there.
Yes. No, I'm more. I would call myself a pretty good game manager at this point.
Okay.
You're efficient.
That's what I mean. If you want to put a double move on somebody, I could probably float it out there for you, but I'm not going to throw it 40, 50 yards.
Okay, so
QB1.
QB1 or
I would love to play QB.
Okay,
QB1.
I bet not you as would, Panama running. Red. Yeah. I mean, goodness
that would
gracious.
Be awesome.
Okay, we found your QB.
Okay, so my QB is Rothman. Do I have to have a center? Because if I have a center, I want Beam. Because I saw Beam get angry a couple weeks ago, and that guy can take some guys out. You know, if I'm running a little pass block, that's what I want.
Beamer at center.
How are you?
So you have one more.
I need two more. Give me two more spots. Okay,
two more spots.
If you're not taking Maddie as some sort of a fullback, scat back, H back, like I think you have
taking
to have
Luke Kuechly in the A gap.
I mean, have you seen this guy?
By Luke Kuechly, by the way,
he's probably the most physical prowess you're going to get. I mean, he's the guy.
But here's my problem. I worry that we would be midway through the second quarter and he'd pass out, and I'd say, Maddie, you can't just eat, you know, nuts and cranberries all day and expect us to go win a championship.
I don't think I got enough fuel in the tank.
I'm worried about it.
Okay, so I'm not on the squad, AR. That's what it sounds like.
No, you can be running back, but you got to guarantee me that you had In-N-Out burger the night before. All right?
I got you. All right. So one more. QB1 center, RB. We need a pass catcher for you.
Yeah, we need a receiver. You know who I feel like would be secretly a really good receiver? Just because I feel like he's small, he's shifty, he's quick. Maybe a Julian Edelman type.
Zeke.
Bodie.
No.
Isaiah.
No.
Tyler Danberg. That's your okay.
Nobody's seeing it coming. We're getting in the huddle. I'm like, Danberg, game's on the line. I need you to get open. This man's going to Wes Welker this thing wide open.
Why is it got to be Wes Welker?
Well, because
he can't be Antonio Brown or.
No, I want like a little guy.
Oh, okay.
Julian Edelman.
I'm just asking. You know,
yeah, no. Okay, now it's awkward. All right, now it's great. Now it's awkward. Yeah,
why do you want to run a vanilla offense with him?
Well,
why did you say you wanted to do that? All right, we're going to come back. Ryan Day on managing this week for next week. You'll hear it next. Rothman.
Football on the Fan. Catch the 49ers and Rams live from Australia.
It's winter there, you know.
Live fan coverage starts Thursday at 8.
Sponsored by Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Radio home of the NFL. The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Accurate Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Hey, this is Michael Behrens, Big Red, otherwise known as the Czar of the Parking Lot, and you're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1 The Fan.
Adam King, 10TV, still with us. He won't leave.
I just want you to know, if Fish ever says that you missed a break, you tell him, oh, I'm sorry, that's your clock. We have a secret clock in the studio that was perfectly on time. Just let them know that.
What is your understanding? Because I said at the beginning of the show, it's if it's not synced up, why isn't it? What's your understanding?
What's my understanding? It is single-handedly the most angry I've ever been in a college football game.
Really?
And I don't care, and I think people should understand this, I don't care if it was Georgia Tech versus Stanford. It just doesn't make any sense. There's no logical explanation. And they synced up the clocks at 9 seconds, the play before the Hail Mary. So how in the world could the clocks have been off? I don't think I've ever seen anything like it in a football game where it just, I believe there was a time, you get to watch an old YouTube videos of like a fifth down that was given in a Colorado game a long time ago.
That's right.
That's got to be the equivalent of it because it just, they just got a free play. And I understand the Big Ten says that there was a second left on the clock. You're going to have like, I think the Big Ten just like manufactured that clock? No, but it doesn't. It just, A and B don't equal C.
So your accusation is what?
I think that's where I'm most frustrated. I don't have an accusation. Yeah.
That's what I said to Maddie at the beginning of the show. I go, we can talk about how stupid it is and how the other team felt robbed, severe underdog, game over, clock says zero, everybody's looking at the same clock, ball still in the air, what's going on? And then they produce, well, what the clock that we're all seeing is not the official clock. I agree with you. The only question we'd all have is, where is this official clock and why wasn't it synced to the one we were seeing?
Well, and so this is kind of, and it annoys me a little bit that it's Texas week, because I think if it was Kent State week, you could almost ask Ryan this question, because that they know about it inside the Woody, everybody in the college football world.
You don't think he's going to be asked tomorrow about it?
I think that would be a waste of a question.
He might be asked, but there's no way he could answer.
Yeah, but I think if it was Kent State week, you could ask it in a way to say, like, what do you know about how clock operation works? Like, because for a coach, that's everything.
I think that should be asked tomorrow.
But I don't think it should be asked tomorrow.
Why not?
Because I don't think, because you're not going to get the answer you want tomorrow.
No, that's fine, but just hearing his approach, I think that should be asked. 85%, 90% of tomorrow's press conference is going to be about Texas. But the biggest story coming out of the weekend, hearing how to a coach understands clock and all that in-house. Like, I think that should be asked tomorrow.
All right.
Even if he shoots it down.
If it's asked, you want a little side bet? I bet you a cup of coffee. If it's asked.
I don't drink coffee.
Okay, well, then that's good, because if you lose, then I don't. I bet you, what is it, cranberries and in grapes? If he's asked, he'll talk about Leave No Doubt. That's why he preaches Leave No Doubt. That's why that's the slogan over there.
I also agree with you that I don't think he's going to breathe much life into it. But I don't think that press conference should go by without the question being asked.
I think he would say, all it is a reminder to anybody that watched it that you can't leave it up to one play. You can't leave it up to one decision by the refs. You can't leave it up to one.
I think you're right on it. I think it's going to be a similar answer to that, for sure.
The Big Ten's response was more about the guy leaping from out of bounds, and he touched it, and there wasn't a second left in the clock anybody was watching.
No.
So the Big Ten's explanation of number 18 started his jump from an established out of bounds position left, that was irrelevant to me. The relevant part is, where is the secret clock and why wasn't it synced to the one everybody was watching? That's all.
But it was. That's the weird part. That's the part that's very strange to me. Mm-hmm. Is that the play before, like the play that it happens, the ref said, please sync all clocks.
Scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most embarrassing thing you've seen in a college football stadium. Michigan fans rushing the field after that game.
I believe the term is par for the course.
Okay.
Embarrassing? No. Fitting? Yeah. That checks out.
I think it's embarrassing.
I think it's pretty, you know, there's just so much going on. Like, I thought, boy, as much as it would have annoyed me if it was Georgia State and Stanford, it almost is perfect that it happened to Michigan, because that's just the only way that would happen in college football, is somehow that
crazy
team,
man.
The most Michigan way to win a football game. And, you know, I had the perfect tweet drawn out. It was a picture of Connor Stallions in his Central Michigan outfit, and it was said, started with Central Michigan, the rise of Michigan, and it ended with Western Michigan. But, you know,
to Maddie's point, rushing the field over on that kind of victory is stupid. But if you just look at it in a vacuum, that it was a Hail Mary that was converted,
then you can understand. And college kids are always looking for an excuse to maybe run on the field. And yes, it's a,
I just thought it was a little weird that you ran on the field. I didn't think
I was not there.
Yes. He was the clock operator. Were you not?
I don't. Why did this turn on me for some reason?
I just want to turn it back on you. I
don't. App State was a 33-point dog when they beat Michigan.
It's not the same as that.
Right.
And Michigan was what, the number three team in the country?
I don't remember what.
Because they came back.
Close to putting up the number five.
Five? Yeah.
People were saying that online. It was different than the App State game. You expected less from Michigan, and Western Michigan is better than App State was.
Are you going to Austin?
Yes.
Okay.
When are you leaving?
Thursday morning, when the sun rises in the east.
Nice long drive. That's How long is that drive?
14 hours. Yeah. I looked it up.
You're not driving.
No, we're fine. Okay. But in case we were tight, in case we wanted to send the whole world and you guys wanted to come along, we could road tripping with Matty Ice and Rocky.
Matty doesn't do that.
Yeah. Are you? You don't?
No, I don't do drives over 3.5 hours.
That is absurd.
Yeah, I can't be in the car that long, man. I can't do it. Made the drive.
It's a little jittery.
Chicago's what did it to me.
You can't drive to Chicago? Nah.
Being in a car for 6 hours and 30, 45 minutes, that's torture for me. And especially, AK, when I can do the mental math and know that I can be there in less than an hour on a plane ride. Yeah, give me that all day and tomorrow.
Cole, what about you?
How far can I go?
Yeah, what's your limit?
The absolute limit has got to be like 8 hours.
Okay. Mine's 12. 12 without stops, or 12, like 12 on the map. Like you type it in, it says 12 hours. So it takes you about 14, but that's my limit.
Okay.
What's yours?
How long have I actually been in a car before?
No. Like okay. You're sitting here right now, and it's not like, maybe
ideally, it would have to be less than 7.
That's crazy.
You know what? But I've been in the car longer than that.
You know what could chop down my limit pretty quickly? Is if there are toll roads, because I know that I'm going to get got for like $500 not knowing what I'm doing. And I'll be like, it'd be cheaper to fly because I know I'm just going to get caught on roads that I don't know what I'm doing or how much money I'm spending.
The amount of time. I get it. What?
How much are these tolls that you
depends on how long you're driving on them.
And they're like, well, they're $12 if you pay at the thing. And then you get a thing in the mail and it's like, well, because you paid through the mail. Now it's $85. Thanks for driving on our roads in West Virginia. I'm with them. Stupid.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Well, you get into Chicago, it's all I-Pass. So you're not stopping paying any tolls.
Well, yeah.
The problem is
you don't have an I-Pass.
Right. Then you've got to know where you're going and what tolls you've gone through, and then you got to pay it online.
How much is like an I-Pass membership? Like
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But everybody has one.
I have to imagine.
It takes a toll. Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes a toll.
It keeps the traffic flow, Maddie.
Yeah.
Keeps it going.
And yet the traffic still doesn't flow there.
How do you feel about this week?
I feel good. Mm-hmm. Na, 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 na. I think
the you like that. You like that.
Wow.
You like that one.
I think the offense.
You're welcome.
That's great. I think that the offense did one thing for me on Saturday. It gave me a confidence that I certainly didn't have last year, and I didn't have in the Kyle McCord year. And it's the confidence that, simply put, there are too many talented players for any defense to stop. And I think when that's the case, it's really hard to lose a football game.
Okay.
And I think when Legend Bay is going to get more run in this game, I just think there's too many guys to stop. And that's a great problem.
Texas may feel the same way. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a fun matchup. I can't wait for the Sanchez, Matthews, Coleman, Wingo matchups on the outside. That's going to be good stuff.
It's got everybody's attention, my man. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
You look good, man.
I've got back problems.
Oh.
We'll talk about that next week. Rothman.com.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg. 88 players took part in Ohio State's 56-3 win over Ball State Saturday. It's most of the game since 2019. Of those 88, 54 of them played 10 or more snaps. Head coach Ryan Day said it was good to get a bunch of guys into the ball game.
I thought they continued to compete throughout the game. A lot of good things here, but
you know, we got to quickly move on. I told the guys we can enjoy it while in the locker room right now, but once we walk out the door of this locker room, it's on to Texas.
We're the top-ranked Buckeyes. Visit the 5th-ranked Longhorns Saturday at 7:30. College football, 19th-ranked SMU visits Florida State at 7:30 to close the week one slate. The new AP poll releases tomorrow. Baseball today, Guardians and Orioles are scoreless after one in Baltimore. Joey Cantillo starts for the Guards against Trevor Rogers for the Orioles. Tonight, Reds visit the Dodgers at 9:10. Chase Byrne starts for Cincy against a pitcher to be announced. Coverage starts at 8:40 right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at OrthopedicOne.com.
Tell you, there'll be a good guy to ask at the bottom of the hour, Ian Fitzsimmons, on this whole arbiter of the clock situation.
Well, and too, like him, you know, he was talking to Dabo and Lane Kiffin last week leading into that game, which got nasty for Clemson.
I mean they get the pick early and then they kick the field goal, and you're thinking, okay, they're going to make this competitive.
I read somewhere, AR, and I'll have to go double check this again, that LSU in the game, I believe, had 38 first
downs.
That's
correct.
Yeah. I mean, think about that. It's just all day. Your defense is out there if you're Clemson with no type of resistance. Yeah, there it is. 38 first downs for LSU, only 8 for Clemson. Clemson was 1 of 13 on third down. Just embarrassing, man. So embarrassing. Like, if you're a Clemson fan, you have to be down and out at this point with no thought in your mind that right now they're going to get back to anything as far as serious stuff in the college football playoff.
No, he's a dinosaur, and he talks. He talks a big game.
Yeah.
You think he's going to have his guys at least fired up enough to take the field. They were. They got the early pick, and maybe LSU is that good. Maybe they're much better. Are they 51-10 better? Probably not. Not for a game that you should be that jacked up to play. The Michigan thing has been the talk of the town. It's the talk of college football because, A, they looked like garbage and didn't really deserve to win the game. And then did they execute the second Hail Mary? Of course they did. In fact, who was on the call?
No. I was out. I couldn't hear the broadcast.
Blackledge?
Noah and Blackledge.
Okay, that was
Blackledge.
Okay.
Even circled Buchanan on the side. He said,
this is the guy.
This is the guy who's going to catch the football. And he sprints, does a post, sprints down the field, and makes a decent catch. And
there you go.
But following the review, so this is what the Big Ten has done two things here. One, they've tried to basically claim that the guy that touched the ball first for Western Michigan had established out-of-bounds position, which is a fact. But it doesn't change the fact that we all believe that there were zeros at the time. So that's where I'm going. I don't need to be told that the guy started his jump from out-of-bounds. I can see that. And so this is the one. The official time of the game is kept by the Big Ten. Our cameras are not the official arbiter of timekeeping within the game. That is the Big Ten and game officials' responsibility. And after the game, when the Big Ten released their statement, they released some raw video from its replay process.
Mm-hmm.
They claim it showed, and we saw, how and why the decision was made. So I'll give them a little bit for transparency. I just don't know whether I can trust the transparency. So Michigan wins the game, and it's not like, I mean, oh, their fans rush the field. That's another whole story, but it's not like Whittingham went into the locker room and said, wow, what a great comeback, and our guys fought to the end.
No, he wasn't
happy. You're never out of a game. Right.
He wasn't happy.
So at least he didn't do that.
Yeah.
But it's usually run by a timekeeper through a digital interface in the press box these days, from what I've been told. And it's the same clock that's displayed on the scoreboards in the stadium. So with the analog displays in most stadiums, so including Michigan Stadium. So that system runs and exists apparently independently of the refs. So I really, that's where I'm confused, because if both the television broadcast and this replay machine rely on having their system synced with the scoreboard clock, they either each independently have a camera on it, or they send the shared feed to the different broadcast trucks or the control rooms that add that to their own time offset. So that's where the confusion is. So Mike Pereira, I believe, jumped in on this, the Fox replay analyst. He wasn't on the game, but the Big Ten statement explained how it synchronizes the replay system using this strobe. So like 85, like, I don't know, an hour and 25 minutes or something before the game, all the broadcast cameras used for the replay system, including the camera that's on the game clock. And they synced them using this strobe system, and it ensures that all cameras are aligned. So why was this camera or this system off by 1 second? Here's Pereira.
Why would there be a discrepancy in the two clocks?
I mean, that's the question. You know, why is there, when there's supposed to be one clock that's supposed to be synced really in both systems? But I think when you're talking about technology, there's going to be lag times in different types of equipment, even though, you know, if we were syncing it, you and I are going to sync it, and we're looking right off the bat, and we're syncing before the game, we look and say, oh, okay, that's perfect. We're not going to recognize 2/100ths of a second.
That's right.
So it shows that there is an element of error that maybe is in the system. But here's the key, and here's where it got lost, in my opinion. Not my opinion. This is what it is. The replay officials have been told that if there is a discrepancy, use the television footage. Do not use your footage in the command center. Use the footage that 10 million people are watching. Basic premise of replay, Joel, back in 99. We said, look it, don't overturn anything that people that are watching TV don't see. Don't use video that they can't see, because conspiracy theories are going to be abound everywhere. Take a deep breath. Look at both. If there is a discrepancy, go to the TV and use the television shot. So really, really, when it's all said and done, that's what should have happened, and there shouldn't have been another play.
All right. So for the conspiracy theorists out there, or the maybe not even conspiracy, the lean towards the home Big Ten team, that the Big Ten treated the replay clock, the one that they showed later, as the definitive arbiter of the clock in the moment,
yes.
Where Pereira is accusing them of, you chose the wrong one.
Yeah.
He's not saying that there wasn't a problem. He thinks maybe there was, mm-hmm. that there's some general independent technology. It wasn't synced perfectly. Yeah. So he's not saying that somebody put a magical second on. What he's claiming is the Big Ten chose the tiebreaker that benefited the Big Ten team.
Correct.
And that's shouldn't
where
have.
The yeah. conspiracy theory becomes yeah. louder, when it's NBC who has a deal NBC. With the Big Ten,
right.
a Big Ten officiating crew, and then the sneaky part of, what are you guys looking at, that has people saying, well, something is going on here. And when you have one of the biggest brands in the conference getting a break like this, people are going to go that way. Listen, at the end of the day, I can't let Western Michigan completely off the hook either for not identifying the player that they knew they were trying to get the ball
to.
They're
so emotionally spent. They're running off the field.
You got to lock back in. You got to lock back in.
I know.
I'm sorry. You got to lock back in and execute yeah. the plan and find the guy.
Thought they won the game.
Find the guy. You got to finish the job, though, man. Like, you got to lock right back in. I was looking this up, too. And this is just the NFL number, so I couldn't find the college stuff. But the success rate of an NFL Hail Mary is 8-10%. So like 1 in every 12. And so they should be kicking themselves too that they didn't get it done, because they had done everything throughout the game to go home with a win. And so I can't completely take them off the hook either, because you got to find a body, box somebody out, and knock that ball down.
Okay, I'm with you. Technically, you're right. They tell you the game's not over. You got to play another down. Let's D it up the same way. I'm with you. But when guys are ripping off their helmets, running off the field, celebrating, and then you got to turn it back on again, it's similar to an 0-2 when Ohio State played Miami. That game's over. Miami's celebrating. They're running off. It's over. And now it's like, get your butts back out there. There's the mentality of it on both standpoints is, it's tough to be able to do that. I'm with you. They should have busted that play down. But
yeah.
guy made a good play, and He was a little too wide open, but those Hail Marys are tough because you don't want to pass interfere. Everyone's looking up in the air. And
I'd rather pass interferes than that. Then that happened.
At least one of the Western Michigan guys wasn't taunting the fans.
Okay.
And then was late to the party.
Unbelievable. It was like, boy, Stevenson.
Tyree Stevenson, yeah.
That's got to be one of the all-time embarrassing highlights for a player.
Waving, jawing, and waving to the fans. And, hey, by the way, the ball just got snapped. You might want to play.
Ridiculous.
All right. Big observations from the weekend, and there were several. When we come back, Rothman Latour.
Love football, love wings. Put those bad boys together and you get Austin and Bird live at Roosters.
Presented by Bryant Heating and Cooling.
Large amounts of football and all the ducky sauce you can handle. Mondays on the Fans YouTube channel. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Great weather for your Labor Day. What you see is what you get for the rest of the day. Mostly sunny skies and highs of around 82. Comfortable humidity, all things considered, and a gentle east wind. Mostly clear skies tonight, 63. For your Tuesday, mostly sunny, a little warmer, a little more humid, highs of 86. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
The best thing about watching football this weekend, talking football on Reaction Monday.
Sponsored by The Roofing Guys.
The Fan. Rockman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
I don't know how long Dabo Swinney can last. Maybe he can rescue this season. It's just one loss. It's a bad loss. But it only counts as one, technically. And I feel like he is... This may have finally hit the wall. Jump the shark, whatever. This is a guy who was one of those other receiving votes guys, and he was going to at least be competitive, let the world believe that Clemson was not to be overlooked and all that. This was the talk of the preseason. This was the first game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it got delayed massively because of the lightning and thunderstorm.
Yeah, I think they kicked about 9:40.
That threw the whole time. You know, yeah. I'm not here to tell you that matters. Both teams are dealing with it, so I don't really care. But he's got some gimmies. He's got Georgia Southern. They'll bounce back. Belichick has a little bit of...
Right, like now, look at that game a little different. We'll see. So they play North Carolina. They play East Tennessee State this weekend. So
who does?
North Carolina.
Okay.
So they should be going into the Clemson game at 2-0. Should be.
Yeah. So Carolina, they'll get him at home. I believe the only thing he can do now is somehow try to upset Miami. How he could do
that? No chance.
No chance. This could be the real beginning of the end.
Yeah.
I don't know where they are on him hot seat wise.
It has a not as bad but a similar feel to Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin with the Ravens and the Steelers. Like it's just time. It's time to move on to something else because I don't know how administration can't be frustrated with his resistance and his pushback to the game that you have to play now off the field as a head coach.
Do you think it is they're following his lead? That they're not going at, like, just can't get the financial investment that they'd really like at this point.
Maybe it's a combination of both. But I have to go off of his comments on record about the NIL era and how he wants to go about his business and build things the organic way, if you will. And it's just not working. I mean, just think about the team that he just lost against. We talked about LSU. The report is what? They spent $40 million on that roster, and it was night and day. Just night and day. In talent right now. And we all know Dabo was cranking out first-round quarterbacks, first-round. He even had one last year in Peter Woods, first-round pick for the Kansas City Chiefs. And so there's still talent there, but the roster collectively is just nowhere near where it needs to be. And what should frustrate Clemson fans even more is this isn't a conference where you're getting buried by a bunch of teams. This is, hey, a couple teams up top year in and year out that are good. But the rest of the ACC, there's nothing really to write home about in that conference. And so they should have been in the mix a lot more and had a pretty easy runway back to the college football playoff year in and year out and maybe even making noise in the playoff coming out of that conference.
Yeah, I just looked at his deal.
It's just too much left on it.
He ain't going anywhere, huh?
I mean, if they don't have the money to invest in players, why would they find the money to hand him $50, $60 million? Like, it just... I guess if they fired him without cause or anything before the end of this year, it would be $57 million. If they waited, then it's the base salary and some other supplemental compensation, but his contract essentially takes him through 2031.
He's a made man down there. He's a made man.
At $8 million a pop, plus these other royalties and stuff, so he's... Yeah.
He ain't going anywhere.
They're in trouble, and... Here's the deal. I don't think he's... I think he can be a guy that you'd like on the sideline. He's fiery. He's competitive. It sounds like he wants to win. But to your point, he has tried to stiff arm this, and he's dying on the vine with it. And it's just... And Lane Kiffin just was all ready to just torture him on Saturday night. Like, it was... They were never going to take their foot off the gas.
Oh, no. I mean, Lane... I mean, on game day, I believe he said in order to be great, you got to, you know, got to be willing to be hated or something along those lines. And then after the game...
He didn't play the dudes, right?
He did not.
Yeah.
He did not. And so that makes Lane probably feel even better, because a lot of people thought that that was the narrative, that, hey, you know, you drop these guys in, that's going to put them over the top. Clearly, that wasn't the case. And so we'll see... If and when that happens for them, what do they have on deck, LSU? I know they go to Ole Miss.
Well, that's going to be the big one at Ole Miss.
Not this week,
no,
but next week.
Louisiana Tech will come next, and then it's
at
Ole Miss, home against A&M.
Yeah.
They'll get Bama this year. Their quarterback
Caleb Russell looked nice, man. He did look nice.
I mean, think about LSU's schedule. That's why they had to win that game, by the way. You can't lose to unranked Clemson.
Yeah.
Ole Miss, at Ole Miss, A&M at home. Bam at home, Texas at home, at Tennessee. Like, they've got a pretty good schedule.
Like,
tough schedule.
Yeah, you
got to
like Texas coming to your house, you know. But yeah, Trinidad Chambliss and Ole Miss, that turned into an entertaining game last night. Like, it really did. Like, Lincoln Keenholz, the former Buckeye, a little worried for him early on with like how it looked.
And came back.
Just seemed like the nerves were kind of getting to him. Missed a throw that would have been a touchdown. But yeah, he definitely locked back in and put on display some of the athleticism. 14 carries in the game for Lincoln Keenholz. But yeah, you saw why people are excited about Chambliss, and Alexander was popping off from big plays. That was entertaining. And then TLC's crew in the second half just said, all right, enough. Goodbye, Wisconsin.
Okay, they looked good. They looked fine in the second half, and that's cool. I'm not going to overreact to a bad first half. Wisconsin was pumped up. By the way, they're playing at Lambeau, so they had some crowd there. But there were some times where TLC's amazing defensive backfield was getting burned, like biting on double moves, and maybe they were just overly aggressive because they probably can be.
Yeah, he was breaking up some passes early in the game, that guy. Yeah. It's a good play call, too.
I wasn't that worried about that. Like, I thought Notre Dame's defense looked incredible, aside from one or two plays where, like, we had DBs falling down. So, you know, that wasn't good. But I'm a sample size guy. Full sample size, I was actually more concerned with Notre Dame's offense than their defense. And that's...
The running game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just more so the offensive coordinator. Like, the play calling was really predictable. Notre Dame runs a lot of two tight end sets. And so because of that, you can tell when they're about to run the football. And that's why the first half they weren't running the ball well, because it was very obvious they were about to do so. And
game
so
one.
They became more balanced as the game went on. But I was also surprised. Like, the first play of the game, you got like a false start. And then on the third play of the game, you give up a strip sack because you got a first game starting left. I'm like, we look like the moment was too big for us.
Dude, Ohio State went 3-and-out. A back shoulder miss on a ball that needed to be thrown probably in the field, not out. Like,
one.
Big deal. Like,
yeah,
honestly, Ohio State had what? I think Bo Jackson had 3 carries for 7 yards. Yeah. And it's for, like,
I know.
Everyone expects, everybody expects, you know,
but
play one should be a touchdown or like a 20.
Notre Dame's got the reputation, though, a little bit of being the soft school. Like, we're the school where, like, you know, hey, we don't just take anybody. Like, your academics got to be really good if you want to play for this football team.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, we kind of have that reputation. And then to see it in that environment, like, right away, Wisconsin looked really excited to be there. And we looked like we were, like, too scared. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I wasn't
not
worried.
Again.
I was never worried about losing the game. But I was just like, you know, of course, because of the expectations at Notre Dame. And maybe this isn't fair to do so. But I'm thinking a million steps ahead. And so I'm like, how are we going to beat Miami? How are we going to win a championship looking like this? So, you know, I was getting a little bit carried away. But, yeah, those opening game jitters, I'm like, we should be too good for this.
You kind of got benefit on that fumble recovery, too.
Yeah, that shouldn't have been.
Where he's rolling out of bounds, yeah, and he hadn't secured the ball yet. But,
yeah, you'd rather be you guys than, like, Oregon, the feeling, I think, in their building right now.
Oh, that was a real game.
Like, oh, okay. Like, we maybe aren't as good as we thought we were going to be. But, hey, to give them a little grace, two new coordinators to start the season. We'll see what it feels like in the coming weeks. But like you said, TLC, they had to grind that thing out.
But it's also,
it can work for you down the road.
There's no fear of like style points or anything like that. So it's like if you just win, like even so, if Michigan has a 10-2 record, I don't think many people are going to be retroactively say, oh, well, you should be 9-3. Like, 4 months from now,
people will play that card around here.
You're well around here. Yeah, I'm saying like the people who actually decide who plays in the playoffs.
We'll
like,
see.
Once it gets to that point,
like I don't know how they're not going to lose at least three.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm giving a massive if.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think they're that good either. But just like this stuff is kind
five.
Of reacting in the moment.
You know what is good is DraftKings, because the wait is over. Football is here and DraftKings is on. And this September, DraftKings is giving all customers the opportunity to get boosted every game day. That's right. Every game day, all month long, DraftKings customers can get a profit boost plus get extra protection with early exit opt-in. And if your player leaves the game with an eligible injury in the first half, your bet is protected. New DraftKings customers sign up with the code THEFAN971. Spend just $5 and get 200 in rewards within 21 days. That's code THEFAN971 in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus, Ohio only. Eligibility restrictions apply. $50 in non-withdrawal bonus bets issued every 7 days via click the claim for 21 days. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. One football boost per customer. Maximum bet limits and restrictions apply. Tokens expire at the end of the final select game each day when offered. Terms at dkng.co/offer. Again, that's at dkng.co/offer. Limited time offer right now. Get on over to DraftKings and have yourself a good time.
We come back in 2 minutes with our friend Ian Fitzsimmons, and we'll ask him the direct question. Who lied up there in Ann Arbor? See what he has to say next. Rothman.
Details. Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
No one funks up the work microwave like these two. Fish again? You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
I absolutely don't know where to begin. So I'll begin where my feet are, and I'll begin also what I teased. Ian, did somebody lie in Ann Arbor with the clock sync? Did somebody find a magical replay, a magical second? Do we have a magic bullet theory? What's going on?
Ian, you there, big dog?
I thought he was.
Says he's on the air.
I was told. Oh. I was led to believe that our man was there.
I'm here.
Oh, there we go.
Good Lord. Push a button, man. What do we got? Come on now. You've got one job. But by the way, I have one job to join you on Friday, but don't blame me, man. Coaches' meetings ran forever. So there you go. And I apologize, but yeah, I saw you.
I don't know if it's a button.
I think I just got exonerated.
I don't think it's a button. I think it's
that was actually tremendous.
I think
how about this? I'll call him back.
Yeah, call him back.
Oh man,
quickly, expeditiously.
Okay, I like that. That always works too. Hey, yeah, I can't wait to hear it. I know we got a lot to unpack.
I don't even want to start with Dabo the dinosaur, because in that meeting he's probably all feeling great. But I want to talk about this magical second and whether he believes that somehow the clocks didn't get synced or that somebody found some reason to mess with that replay machine.
Have we heard from, like, who runs the in-house clock? Have we heard from that representative. I don't know if that's like an extra ref or somebody that works at Michigan, like this mysterious clock. Who runs that? Do you know?
No. Connor Stallions.
Wouldn't surprise
me. I really don't know. I mean, it took the Big Ten till 1 a.m. to release that clip, which is fine. I mean, you know, and just could there have been a lag? Maybe. But I don't even know if this is, I think if you're on the side of that they screwed Western Michigan, then that's it. You're not going to be talked off that ledge.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're on the side of, well, maybe the Big Ten did go to this official replay clock and they saw that when it hit his hands, there was 1 second on that one. So how they didn't get synced is the real question here. And I don't know we'll ever get that answer.
Regardless.
The cool thing is we might have to float Ian to tomorrow at this point. Another.
I will always think, AR, that the game was over for me. I'm never going to buy into this.
So did Western.
Magic clock that just somehow, some way, of course, just miraculously benefited them. All right, let's give it a go.
What's your understanding of this whole syncing of the clocks with the one that we see on TV and then the machine that they have that they view as kind of the official one for the replays?
Well, it's on. I don't know what the hell is going on with the gremlins in my phone, boys. I apologize. But anyway, it's the TV network's responsibility to sync the game clock and what the public sees on TV. So NBC may have been a second off, may not have. They tried to explain it yesterday, but that's a fact that the game clock and the TV clock should be synced at all times. When John Steinbrecher, the commissioner of the MAC, says, I got every angle, I got the explanation, I got the transparent enhanced replay feed, which, by the way, I think that's – the ACC did it all last year. You know, they week one, they had a big old controversy. So what did they do? Hell with it. We're going UFL style. We're going to let every fan across America see exactly what our replay guys are looking at and discussing. And when the Big Ten released that and Commissioner Steinbrecher saw it, when he says he's good with it, then I'm good with it. So I don't think there's any conspiracy or whatnot and this and that. When the commissioner of the MAC says, nope, I'm good. It was all transparent. There should have been 1 second. I buy it.
All right, let's zoom out from the Hail Mary and get your thoughts on Michigan's a game plan and just output of everything you saw leading up to that last moment, Fitzy, because it wasn't good, brother.
Awful, awful, man. And I've known Kyle Whittingham for 25 years. I can promise you this. Those dudes wear amazing blue. It's going to be about as bad of a week as you could possibly imagine. Because he comes off as this very nice guy and very, you know, and calmly, you know, that doesn't raise his voice a lot. Behind the scenes, watch out, because that old chiseled linebacker out of BYU and the head coach for Utah for so many years, he's going to ride their ass. I promise you. And I looked at the number right before I came on with you guys. Oklahoma is only a 5.5-point favorite. They are really begging you to take this. Yeah, they are begging you to take the Sooners.
Wow.
And when Vegas does that, they normally hit about 7 out of 10 of those bad boys. So get ready. I think Saturday I'll be at the Big House for that game coming up on Saturday. I'm expecting a good old fashioned fist fight between Brent Venables and Kyle Whittingham.
Is LSU that good, or is Clemson? Yep. Is this thing just passed Dabo by this whole?
AR, I think it's a combination of both, man. And, you know, Lane Kiffin, his jaw's not locked, man. He's wearing enamel off of his damn teeth. He told me, it's pregame. I said, what's America going to learn about your football team tonight? He said, hopefully a lot, but I'll tell you this much. I guess I got to hang a 50 spot on these guys because McAfee said I was going to hang 50, so I guess I got to go hang 50. And with about 2 minutes, right before the 2 minute warning, guys, this is how confident these dudes are. Before the 2 minute warning, he walks over to Holly Rowe, Laura Rutledge, and I, and he's having a convo with Holly and Laura. And then he looks over at me, and I said, well, you said you'd hang 50, because remember, he's going for two up 41, boys. He's going for two, right? I mean, he's still throwing the ball with his backup, you know, late in the fourth quarter. And he looks at me, and I said,
Man, I think something in the replay booth.
What is going on?
I think he's got a separate apparatus.
Like what happened?
I don't know. All right, we got you back now. We got you now.
what is going on here? I'm just sitting here in my house.
Somebody's messing it in. Yeah.
Oh, don't do that, man, because you never know these days. I mean, that.
Well, there go, Alexa. Somebody, that's why I don't have any of that crap in my place. None of that Alexa play this or nothing.
Oh, you know who's listening? You worried about who's listening?
Yeah, all the time. Just open mic night in the house. Like anything that you're like.
You can't run from it too much because that cell phone you got right there, that's open mic night all day.
Off, Bluetooth is off.
It doesn't matter. These smartphones, man, it's kind of scary. The things that they pick up immediately.
Hot mic everywhere, huh?
He was telling a great story, too, about Lane.
I know, and the cliffhanger was right. Then Lane told me, and then. We'll never know.
He might pop back in at the right time. You know.
Hello!
There we go. Finish your Lane story.
Couldn't time that any better.
Looking for.
Finish the Lane story. You were on your way.
Yeah, mark your ball quickly.
Man, I don't know what the hell's going on in this house, man. But because you know me, I heard you guys talking. I can hear you. So I don't know what the hell's going on because I don't have Alexa. I don't have any of that stuff in this house, man. I mean, I'm a technical idiot, so I don't know what the hell's going on. But anyway, Lane told me, look, he was going to hang a 50 burger, and damn it, he did. And he smirked at me right before the two-minute warning going, I told you, and he gave me a wink. I mean, his nine-year-old son Cookie's blowing smoke on the bench, man, right in player's shoulder pad. So they're that good, and I think Clemson is that bad. Boys, I think we just witnessed the beginning of an end of an era at Clemson.
Wouldn't surprise me. Hey, you know, before we let you go, here it is. Ohio State, Texas, you're going to be in Ann Arbor. That's going to be a fun with it. But the scene in Austin is going to be incredible. Your takeaways from Texas Week 1, Ohio State Week 1, and what you're anticipating on Saturday.
They did exactly what they were supposed to do, beat the ever-loving hell out of their opponents. Texas is only a 1.5-point favorite, which is about what I thought, 1-2. Get ready. This thing is going to get nasty, and I can't wait to watch it. Both quarterbacks are markedly improved. They're not even the best players on their own team. Hell, they're not even the best players on their own side of the ball, because I think it's Cam Coleman for Texas, and I think it's Jeremiah Smith for the Ohio State Buckeyes. So this bad boy, man, just sharpen your knives, get the brisket out, get ready. This one's going to be epic, and it's only week two. Let's go.
All right. Can't wait to talk to you soon, buddy. We'll check in with you, pal.
I gained 4 pounds in 4 days in Baton Rouge, boys. 4 pounds in 4 days.
So you're on pace. That's good.
You know how hard that is to do that? And I did it. Yeah, it was a hell of a lot of effort, but we got it done.
It's like the guy that hits 4 home runs in the first 4 games of the season. Hey, he's on pace to hit 162. You're on pace to gain, I don't know, 48 pounds. Who knows? And all right, he's gone now again. By the way, Lane Kiffin was asked how his, quote, they did a mock Clemson game, like you do a scout, like a mock Clemson.
Great response.
And in preparation for week one, he goes, our mock.
How did this compare to your mock game against Clemson that you thought was important for your team?
Our mock team should be able to score more points against us than them, but it was about the same score.
And Laura Rutledge's face when he said that makes the comment even better.
You're right, Matty. He's like this, the silent assassin. He's the silent villain. He's kind of clownish, but he's got enough.
He loves it.
As some people say, the very punchable face. Yeah. Like, it's just, he's just got that.
And like, for college football coaches. Fitzy brought up, right? Like, he heard Dabo in the comments all week. Oh, I'm up 40 and some change. Yeah, we're going for 2. I'm going to rub your nose in it. But when you're that person, you better be able to take it too when it comes the other way. Because I have to imagine there's a lot of coaches that would want to get their lick back against Lane Kiffin. But after week one, there's no denying that after all the noise, after all the talk, they backed it up and had an incredible performance at home.
Come back with Tell the Truth, Rothman.com.
If only there was a radio show that constantly talked about Ohio State athletics. Well, good news. It's real, baby. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Ohio's sports destination.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. Catch every game at JT's with award-winning pizza, $2 Yingling Tall Boys, and $20 domestic buckets.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
You got the buttons figured out over there?
I've been had them figured out.
I know. I didn't think that was
vindicated.
I think that was on you.
That was great.
Yeah.
I was like, man, the entire. And I was just going to, roll over, whatever. I'm like, it says on air. And I'm looking, phone is on and potted up, so I'm like, we should be good to go.
Oh, man.
And then it dropped off, and I'm like, the whole world knows I'm good.
Had to be his Wi-Fi at the crib. You know, sometimes I can get a little funky. Good to hear from him,
though. Why would that affect his phone?
The Wi-Fi spotty at the house? I don't know, going in and out? I don't know.
We're on some, like, unbelievable cliffhangers, though. Every time there's some sort of dump-off, it's right after a question's about to be answered. So we had that, where he's like, and then you know what Lane Kiffin told me? And then he's gone.
Dunk.
We had this.
Talk about what was happening behind the scenes this year and what led to that end result.
And then we had this.
Does the quarterback situation at Penn State just end any conversation that they could be in this game?
So maybe it's a you and I thing. Maybe it's us.
Yeah, but I got a little bit of vindication myself. Because you'll have to clip the part where, I don't know, he might pop back in at any time. And then it was like that half second.
And then he comes back.
And then he was back.
So I don't know what in the world was going on, but, I mean, not that anyone cares, but no, it wasn't my fault. But I do kind of enjoy the game. And I was getting on, like, CB one time for this when he was filling in for Man and Timmy. I was, like, whenever anything goes wrong, regardless of whose fault it is, they always blame the producer. It's a fun game to play.
No doubt. I have a question for you. Just because.
Yes, I like how you raised your hand for that.
I just saw this on the TV that AR just got another dinger from Kyle Schwarber that went to the second deck. What's the math on this
thing?
You
finally got one from Guerrero, though.
He's such a bum, man. He got eight home runs this year. That's disgusting.
I'll be honest, I kind of took today. Usually we do that on Mondays. I took today off because I thought we were just talking. I thought we were talking football the entire time.
No, that's fine. It just caught my attention because that's AR's guy out there that just hit a ball to the moon.
You know what? I'll give you a baseball one, though. Are you still following baseball, or are you putting on hold until the playoffs, or are you just done for the entire year?
I'm absolutely following it. I told Maddie, so the fantasy baseball playoffs start this week. I earned a bye, which is amazing.
Wow.
So now, and I managed it to the end last night. And I actually sat a starter because I had ER and WHIP protected.
Yeah.
And then I just looked at my team just for the hell of it today. And the Lazardo's pitching a gem, and it won't count for me. But it's okay. I'm in.
You're in, though.
So I'm in the semis, so that'll start next week, so now I can position my team. So I am definitely watching.
Okay, yeah. I love baseball way too much to completely ignore it, especially when we get to the playoffs.
Real quickly.
Yeah.
The Sox are going to be in Cleveland, like, in a week and a half. Like, it's going to be a massive series. They're up 2.5 on the Guards, and the Sox still have to go to Cleveland.
Yeah, that'll be fun. But, yeah, wow. I love the playoff environments. It should be a really good ride. Here's what I will say. Baseball can no longer take the big screen at my house. They've now been moved to the iPad. So the football season, you're bumped to the kiddies table. Football is all day, every day on the big screen. Baseball, you're going to the small screen now. But I'm locked in come playoff time. It should be a good time.
You're right about the playoff atmospheres. I remember last year. So you know me, lifelong Pirates fan. My brother moved to Milwaukee last year. So in August, we went to a game that had the Brewers, obviously, who were number one in the National League at the time. And they were playing the Mets, who at the time held a wild card spot. And it was packed.
Rocking in there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is what late season baseball is supposed to be like when you root for a team that actually wins games.
It's electric, man.
Yeah,
it's
so the atmospheres are definitely a lot different than what I've been watching my entire life.
The other reason we're going to be locked in is the fact that we still have his floating parlay that's got two of the legs.
Dodgers got to win the National League.
If the Dodgers make the World Series.
Wait, you're saying two different things. He said win the National League or win
the National League.
Yeah, make the World Series.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard you say win the World Series.
No, make it, then we win that parlay that we made a while back.
I don't tell you, man.
I know. Just we're alive.
That's all we can.
Who are you worried about?
Milwaukee.
I'm worried about the Dodgers. No. Don't seem to have. They're like, they don't have a closer either. Diaz came back and Diaz stunk.
Awful.
He's gone.
Yeah.
And he might come back. Tanner Scott's okay. They're a committee, too.
I just look at Atlanta, Milwaukee, the Cubs, and Philly. Like, they're going to have to fight. Mm-hmm, I don't think this is just going to be a rollover the way I think a lot of us thought it was going to be, especially when they added Scooble.
But I believe in us.
That's right.
That's us.
Hell yeah.
Is there any city in the world that could draw a visit from you if your favorite NFL team played an international game there?
Ooh.
Enough to go?
Like
enough to go.
I had it on a platter last year, and I didn't go.
Paris?
I could have done the whole St. Andrews and the whole with the Vikes and the Steelers and the Browns. They played the Browns and then the Steelers, right? Yeah. And I was going to map it out where I could go play golf.
Oh, yeah,
and
I remember you talking about
that. I didn't that. Even do that. So
you named it.
The answer is no.
Paris. I think that'd be a vibe.
The Ravens go there?
Yeah, that'd be a vibe. I got a passport that's just collecting dust, AR. Not doing nothing with it.
Sad. Gotta do something with it.
I mean, it's gotta be a big hit at the bars, though, in the clubs when you flash that thing.
What am I, a cop?
Be like, hey, how come it's not stamped yet? I haven't gone anywhere.
I don't think that would work out well for me. By the way, Guardians down 3-0 against the Orioles at home. Or on the road, I'm sorry.
It is National Beer Lovers Day. Is it unmanly of me that I don't like beer?
No, I think we got to get over that. Like, I think we just got to let people enjoy what they like to drink, you know? It is a thing, though, like amongst men, where it's like you should be drinking a beer or bourbon, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of I think it's alcohol in general.
No, but I think those are like the manly drinks. Like, you're a man if you drink beer, whiskey, and bourbon. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Scotch.
We're all kind of getting to the same point feeling good, you know?
Yeah.
I'm off that.
And most, I bet half of those people are like, you know, it really tastes like paint thinner, but I got to act like I really enjoy it.
That's a great call. That's a great call. Let's tell the truth for today. You miss anything from our show, don't worry. You can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. Just type in Rothman and Ice, everything we do from noon to 3. We'll be waiting there for you. Subscribe to the podcast as well. Common Man and Timmy coming up next. They're going to take you to 6 o'clock. A lot of Buckeye coverage, so don't move. And we're back tomorrow at high noon.
Ian just texted me.
What'd he say?
He's like, maybe we do Thursday. Like, great. You can get his phone fixed by then and
we'll
whatever.
We'll be here.
All right. We'll come back, talk to you tomorrow. Have a great rest of the holiday. Thanks for listening. Rothman.